The CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phones, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
Are you ready, Steve?
Uh-huh.
Andy?
Yeah!
Bert? Well, all right, fellas. Well, let's go!
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/CFRN. Over 85,000 titles. Choose from mystery, romance, religion, science, technology, business, New York Times bestsellers, even children's books. You name it, Audible has it. With 85,000 titles to choose from, you're sure to find the perfect audiobook for yourself or to give as a gift, and it's absolutely free. Just point your browser to audibletrial.com/CFRN. That's audibletrial.com/CFRN. And become a part of the audiobook revolution by downloading your free audiobook today. audibletrial.com/CFRN.
Hey, trader, want to get rich quick? Well, good luck with that. If, on the other hand, you actually want to learn how to trade, the place to be is www.cfrn.net. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern, for our daily devotional, and then spend the next 3 hours learning how it's done from professional traders who actually trade for a living. That's www.cfrn.net. Every trading day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.
Good afternoon, traders, and welcome back to the CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast. This is the daily broadcast of indeterminate length where we discuss all things E-Mini along with some really big ideas on the finer points of trading gold, bonds, crude, sugar, the euro, and even T-bills. Joining us today from our studios in Boston, Mr. Michael Bork. From our trading desk in Chicago, Mr. Burton Schlichter. And from our studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, Mr. David Williams. Now, to get things started, let's go to our host and founder in Studio A, overlooking South Mountain, America's largest city park. Here's Dwayne.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. Today is Thursday, 13th day of June, 2013. Quick look at the numbers. The Dow's up 53 points. The S&P is up 7. The comp is up 13. Gold down 16. Crude off. Nope, up. Up 4 pennies a barrel. 4 pennies a barrel. Those are the numbers. Happy Thursday. Can you believe it's almost Friday again? Wow. Time flies when you're having fun. We have a partners meeting tonight. That makes Thursday a great day. As a young man, I always looked forward to Friday because Friday was payday. And there was something about Friday. You woke up Friday morning, just you felt good because you were going to get paid at the end of the day and do whatever it is you do as a young man with your money on Fridays and on the weekend. And now we live in a little bit of a different age. I dare say that many people in this audience never see a paycheck because it gets electronically deposited into your account. I don't know. Somehow that just kind of takes the fun. My money, you know, what money I have coming in gets electronically deposited too. I miss that. I miss that, they're passing out. And in fact, I miss not only getting my paycheck on a Friday, but the last company that I built, we had 50 employees, and one of my favorite times of the week was Friday afternoon, payday. well, the secretary would go to the accountant. She'd get all the checks. She'd bring them back to the office. I'd sit there. I'd go through them. I would sign each one individually. And I would look at, because we were a sales company, I would look at, and but we had a lot of clerical workers, warehouse workers. I would look at each person's performance for the week. And if it warranted, I would put a little sticky note in with their paycheck. But I would sign the check. Look at what they'd done for the week, you know, seal up that envelope, and all 50 employees. That was something I looked forward to doing on Friday afternoons. I know some bosses, you know, cringe at having to pay the employee. I relished that. It was wonderful that I was able to provide these jobs and to provide the employment. But so Friday payday became a new kind of great day for me because I was on the giving end as opposed to the receiving end. Now, when you go through each employee and you think about them and you know you put that little post-it note, I didn't know this for a while, but now I would after I signed them and put them all together, then I would walk through the office. I called it the stroll. I would take the afternoon stroll, and I would go from desk to desk to desk and then down through the warehouse, stop, shake hands, chat with each employee, how you doing, how's the family, what's going on, you know, how about them sons or something. I don't know, I'm not a sports guy, but I would try to make small talk and just really see how they were doing. I wasn't just trying to make small talk. I genuinely wanted to be connected with them, and then I would hand them their paycheck. And I didn't know this, but behind my back, they would always talk about the post-it notes that it actually became a big deal amongst the employees. Hey, did you get a post-it note, you know? And I didn't know there was like this competition going on amongst the employees to see who could work hard enough or do enough to actually get a post-it note in their envelope. So I think that I stumbled down memory lane just because I said Happy Thursday. All right. Oh, I said Thursdays now have some of the magic of Fridays for me because Thursday night is Partners Night. This is when we do the Partners Workshop every Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern. If you're a partner, I'll see you there. If you're not a partner, you could be. All right? If you're on a free trial, your free trial's expired, check your inbox. Michael should have sent you the paperwork. If you want to become a partner, there's still time to get the I's dotted and the T's crossed and get you into that seat before the meeting starts tonight. And it won't be just the partners meeting, but that will open the door to everything that becoming a CFRN partner means, access to hundreds of hours of training videos in our members area, unlimited, unfettered access to Michael and myself via email, telephone, go-to meeting, whatever it is that you need on your journey to learn how to trade. We're here for you, okay? So let me move on. I don't want to spend too much time there stumbling down memory lane. Fridays, great days. Now Thursdays, great days. Every day should be a great day. Is that right? If you're new to this radio program, welcome. Glad to have you with us. If it's your first time, maybe you don't know what you're supposed to do. Well, the first thing you're supposed to do, if you haven't already done it, go to the homepage of CFRN.net on the right-hand side. Click the great big microphone. That'll take you to a page with instructions. Follow them so that you can see the charts as we go. For the next 2 hours, we're going to be talking about the markets, looking at charts. You want to be able to see those charts, okay? So go do the registration. You only have to register once per month. You'll get an email every day that says the show starts at noon. Click here when you're ready to join, okay? One-click access. We make it as easy for you as possible. So do that. Not only will you be able to see the charts, but you can participate in the discussion. Ask questions. If you have a favorite market, a favorite stock, and you would like us to look at it and give you our opinion, that's all it is an opinion, we'll be happy to do that for you. Okay? We'll start with our good word for the day, which is going to be a little different than normal. Then I've got just like two headlines to give you. Then we're going to go to Michael for a recap of everything that happened in the live trading room today. It dawned on me last night, guys, we have 550 videos in just one of our YouTube channels. over 137 hours of content. Now, they're not all recaps. There's some teaching and training and some other videos mixed in, but 550. Now, that's not in the partners area. That's just out publicly on YouTube, 550. And if you go to our other channel, there's, I think, 55. There's 55 on one and 550 on the other. I think that's right. Anyway, there's a lot. If you haven't been there, if you haven't checked it out, go for it. One of them, I'll put them in the chat box here in a minute. Maybe Michael will do it. YouTube.com/eMiniFuturesTrading. That's one of them. All one word, eMiniFuturesTrading. The other is YouTube.com/CFRN. So check those out. And you know what? While you're there, subscribe, okay? What will happen is every time we publish a new video, you'll get an email that says, hey, there's a new video. Click here and you can watch it from your email client or from your browser window. You don't have to go all the way over to YouTube and log in and all of that stuff. So consider that. In fact, I'll track down the subscribe link and I'll put that in the chat box as well. And our daily newspaper, maybe you didn't know, if you go to paper.cfrn.net, paper.cfrn.net, we publish daily. I used to publish twice a day. I've gone to once a day. I think I'm going back to twice a day. Everything that I find cute, funny, clever, interesting, stimulating, mind-boggling on the internet, I compile it and curate it all in one place so you can be equally dazed and amazed. All right? Subscribe. When you go there, paper.cfrn.net, just click that subscribe button, and every day when the new issue comes out, you'll get an email. You just click the link in your email and read the paper. There's printed content, there's pictures, there's videos, good stuff. All right, join us. Our good word for the day, okay, and then after the recap, we'll go to Las Vegas, talk to David from PageTrader.com, and Robin will be back today. And the reason she was not on the show yesterday, very interesting. I'm going to save that and let her tell you what was going on. But she'll be with us today, Robin Dane, the trading coach. In fact, if you Google E-mini trading coach, guess who pops up in the number one slot? That's right, our very own Robin Dane. Okay. All right. Our good word for the day comes from John 15:15. And it says, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. John 15:15. Now, those of us who become Christians, believers, whatever label you prefer, only 2% of us will ever work in ministry. In other words, you'll be a pastor or a preacher or an evangelist or a Sunday school teacher or be a part of the church staff, maybe a choir director or the arts director. You follow what I'm saying? Each church, each congregation, they have their staff that, and depending upon the size of the church, some of them have like full-blown staffs, and others it's a couple people volunteering part-time. Depends upon the size, but of all believers, only 2% will ever actually work in ministry, draw a paycheck as an employee of the church. But imagine the growth of Christianity. Hey, get that little John Lennon song going in your head. Imagine the growth of Christianity and the citywide impact if the other 98% of the body of Christ stepped into kingly anointings, leaving the pastoral care to those who are truly called to it, that 2%, kings would be in church on Sunday morning, receiving a rich equipping from the priests, that would be your pastors, your teachers, and other anointed church leaders, to be deployed the remaining 6 days to minister at work. See, even though you've not been called to stand in the pulpit or to lead the choir or to teach Sunday school, you are called to minister 6 days a week. And on the seventh day, you rest. Imagine a small business owner who saw him or herself as a minister called of God to care for and lead his or her employees. Just as a pastor leads his church and shepherds his flock, what if every small businessman saw himself through that same lens as a shepherd? And that your employees were not just your employees, but your flock, men and women that God had placed under your care, under your hand, under your stewardship to minister to. Think about that. Imagine God's favor to multiply financial blessings to, an advertising executive through an anointing for creativity, or a trader to do what traders do best. Imagine gifts of the Spirit operating in the marketplace to reach the lost 1 minute and to make financial decisions the next. Imagine, if you will, the wall between secular and spiritual crumbling. Imagine, if you can, kings in the marketplace ministering in the Spirit as freely as priests minister in the church. Think about being employed by God Himself in a workplace vocation that causes you to seek Him the same way that a pastor seeks God in preparing the message for Sunday. That's our good word for the day. Now, let me tell you where that came from. What I just shared with you came from a book. It's called Releasing Kings. You may have heard of it. It's written by a very popular Christian author. His name is John Garfield. You can Google him up. You can order the book. It's available online. You can go to his website. You can subscribe to his newsletter. There's something unique about John, other than this wonderful book that he's authored. He's a CFRN partner. He has been now for 3 months. When he came on board, I did not make a lot of fanfare. I didn't tout that we had this, you know, big Christian heavyweight as a partner. I wanted to give him some first anonymity, and I wanted him to be able to simply make a, you know, unbiased and fair evaluation of what we offer. He called me the other day. We spoke again this morning at length, and I said, you know, I've not pressured you in any kind of a way, nor have I asked, but it's now been 3 months. And he says, stop. Let me just tell you. He says, I've been around the block. I've been through a few of these training. He goes, what you got is very unique. And yes, he says, use my name. And anyone that asks, you can tell them that I am behind the CFRN partner training program 100%. He says, what you guys are doing, he says, it's actually the real deal. You trade live in front of people every day. And when the partners have questions and issues and everything that comes up in this type of, he goes, I've not seen anything quite like this. And I've seen a few things. Okay. This is the author of this book. Now, how do you know he really said that? Well, we'll get to that. Starting not this Friday, not tomorrow, but next Friday, right after the Coach's Corner. Coach's Corner is at 3 Eastern. Every other Friday at 4 Eastern, we're going to have a new radio program called Releasing Kings. Now, this isn't the other new radio program I've been talking about. This is a new one that was birthed this morning. Releasing Kings, 4 p.m. Eastern, every other Friday beginning next Friday with the author, John Garfield. He'll be on this radio program to talk not only about his book, Releasing Kings, and the worldwide ministry that was birthed from this book, but also about his adventures in trading, his adventures as a partner, and all that God is doing in his life right now and in his ministry. I encourage you, get online, go to his website, just Google Releasing Kings, and pick yourself up a copy of the book, start reading it, so as he comes on the radio show next Friday afternoon at 4 p.m. Eastern, you'll be able to ask questions and, that's right, participate in the discussion. Okay? I'm looking forward to it. I hope you will too. Next, let's look at this chart right in front of me, S&P 500 E-mini futures. It is the hourly chart. Okay? We had a tweet, consider being short below 1631. That's old news. The market took a dive. Okay? And once we broke through this weekly zone at 1920, look what happened. Price did that. Then it did that. And then it did that. How many times have you seen me draw that thing? That's not a very good version of it, but move down. It would be easier to see if I went to a smaller time frame, but I'm pressed for time. Move down, pull back, continuation of the move. See, right here, when you break that swing low, right there, trigger, okay? Move down, pull back to the zone, proves itself to be resistance, push. And on that push, you can get in before you break this swing low, or you can wait, gives you some confirmation. In this case, you had an opportunity to be short from 1614 down to the zone at 1609. It's a 5-point move. That's half a week's work. Because we teach 2 points a day times 5 days, that's 10 points. There was 5 of them on this trade here. Now, last night, we were waiting for a trade set up. And we were very, very patient. And we thought for sure we had it this morning. And then we didn't. Okay? But we were ready to not have it. Okay? Jim, I'll get to your question here in a minute. I see it over there in the chat box. All right. We broke below 1608, 1609. And then we sent out a tweet. We said, all right, guys, we've broken 1608. We now need to wait for the pullback to 1608 so that we can consider getting short. So we waited 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 hours. And I sent out a tweet. Let's see. This is what it looked like then. That was then. Okay, this was the 11-hour wait, the pullback to the zone. That was then. This is now. It cruised right through 1609. Now, here's the thing. Our trigger to get long, I'm sorry, to get short, once we pull back to 1608, we're looking to get short 1606. Okay? In other words, we're not going to just park an order there at 1608 and hope it holds so that we can be short. We're going to actually wait for it to get there, let it prove itself as resistance like it did over here, okay, and then catch it on the way down. Why? Because that next zone is way down there. Got a long way to go. All right, so no reason to be in a hurry. It's not, we're not going to have to worry about missing the move. Now, there's two stages to this trade. Number one, you get short on the way back down at 06, here you have an obstacle to the trade, okay? On the way to that next zone, way down below us. So from 1606 to this swing low, which was, the swing low was 1597.50, if that trade had triggered, which it did not, that would have been a very nice trade, 9 points. That didn't fall into our lap the way this one did. And we didn't get triggered in, you know, on a false alert, because look what happened. On this hourly, we just cruised right up through it and closed above it. Okay. Now we have to start looking at the move up. I didn't send out a tweet about trading this long back up to this zone. Could you have done that? You could have. And as price closed above, I'm sorry, I have to do it. Price went like this. And then what happened is price went like that. And then, yeah, true story. Price went like that. Broke up, pulled back to the zone, this hour here. It's much easier to see it if you go to a smaller time frame, but it's there. Broke up, pulled back, continued. Just like over here, it broke down, pulled back, continued. If you only watched for that move and worked off that trade setup, you might do well, okay? But it doesn't have to be just that. That can just be part of your skill set, part of your tool set, if you will. Okay, so now that we've gotten to 1619, 1620, what are we looking for? The very same thing we were looking for down here. We need to see 1920 hold as resistance. We've touched it. What sort of number might we use? Okay, I'm going to show you. First, let me give you a big picture look. Swing high, down to the swing low. See where we are right here? This weekly trading zone is a 50% retracement. The zone actually sits just above the 50% retracement. So we've pulled back. Now down here, on this pullback, it was the little 24% retracement, the one I don't look at so much. Usually it's the 38, 50, and 62. That's where I put my box for the strike zone. So, but we cruised through that. Okay. Now we've see how we just cruised through that, but on this one, we stopped. We stopped climbing. We've created a second candle. It's got a red body. We're 29 minutes into this candle. Okay. So I'm going to throw out a couple numbers. And we'll be able to watch them through the radio show today. The first one I'm going to throw out is 1617. Okay. But then I'm going to come look at this right here. See, this was the last attempt for the market to push lower. So let's see what that number is. There's the swing low on that 1614.75. So let's go 1614. You could get short 1617 or 1614. Okay? The lower the price, the more confirmation you have that price is headed back to this zone. Okay? Now, ultimately, it should head to the swing low and then beyond to the zone below if the market is headed further south. But hear me out. What if it fails? What if it can't make it all the way back to this zone? Well, if you get in at 17 and then it gets thwarted at 14, that's a 3-point move. Well, what if you don't get into 14 and it doesn't quite make it all the way down to 09? Well, that's a 5-point move. Is there a high probability opportunity to at least grab a couple points here or a couple points here, which is the daily bread of a CFRN partner? The answer to that is absolutely. 1,000 times yes. Okay? That's what I want you to see. Be patient. See what's going to happen here. If you're adventurous, you can get short on a break of 17. If you want to wait for a little more confirmation, get short below 1614. Your first target in mind would be 0809. Then the swing low, and then the zone that's down here. Okay? Well, okay, but what if it doesn't break 17 or 14? What if it keeps going higher? Okay? If it does, guess what we're going to look for? We're going to look for that, and then that. Yep. And then that. I have some really great headlines, but I'm going to save them for tomorrow. It has to do with it ties into a startup that Michael and I just bought, and I'm going to tell you about that as well. But I think I'll save it for tomorrow, okay, because we're running behind. Michael needs to do the recap, and David and Robin are patiently waiting. So, yeah, we'll save those. Or maybe we'll talk about some of them later in the show. Maybe, in fact, we might talk about them after David and Robin, once they have to leave, if we have some time left over. Maybe we'll cover them today, but I think I'll save them till tomorrow. Michael, it's all yours.
All right, let me grab it, and I will run through our day.
Yeah, I'm getting ready to mute my mic, guys, and Michael's going to take over and do the recap. But remember, no matter, we're in the zone, 16:19/20. We're inside of the weekly zone. How many times you hear me say that, okay, as we start the show? Now, if price moves up, we have a trade. If price moves down, we have, no matter, once we get into a zone, there's always going to be a trade opportunity. We just got to be patient, let it develop, and let us show us what it's going to do. And now, does that guarantee that we're going to have a successful trade? No, it doesn't. But let's take it a step at a time. I'll walk you through this one today. Okay, I'm done. I'm muting my mic.
All right.
Mike,
all right.
Mike, I'm muting my mic.
Got it. Check. Let's see. Thanks, Bert. Jim, there is something else down there. 78.79. All right. Let's get started. All right, good afternoon, everyone. Today is the 13th day of June 2013. Today is Thursday. Reminder to everyone who is a partner. There's a partners meeting tonight. I know Dwayne already said it, but I'm going to say it again. There's a partners meeting tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern time, as there is every Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern time. All right, we're going to try to start promptly at 9 p.m. I know for a while we had been letting it go by for a while we had been letting it go by, you know, go to, like, you know, 9:15 or something like that, letting people show up. Tonight, we're going to try to start promptly, around 9:05 or so, all right? All right, if you are not a partner and you want to get into the partners meeting, well, you must become a partner. To do that, you need to take care of, if you don't know how to do it and you want to become a partner, send us a quick email at support@cfrn.net. That's support@cfrn.net. All right, and we'll help you out with that. Plenty of time to take care of that today before the meeting tonight. All right, let's go over the trades, the results from today. Today we made 2 points in soybeans, 2 points in the Russell, 2 points in crude oil, two ticks in the beans, 2 ticks in the Russell, 2 ticks in the crude, and 25 in gold. All right. Today, this number right here is a little misleading. It took us 82 minutes and 13 trades to get to our 2 points. There were several times in the first half an hour that with open trades we had 2 points or more than 2 points equivalent in open trades. And, you know, I'd always move my stop to break even I had moved my stop to break even, or I had taken a little bit of profit. But there were several times in the first 30 minutes that we had achieved the 2 point level if we were just looking for that to get out of the morning session, make our 2 points, and end for the day. For us, we trade all morning. As it was, it took us 82 minutes, 13 trades to get to our 2 point level. We placed a total of 16 trades today. On the month of June, we are up $2,770 in the live trading room on 111 trades. $2,770 in the live trading room so far for the month of June. We have 9 trading days so far, so we're averaging about $300 a day in the live trading room right now. Okay, that's what we need to do to beat this level. We've got to average a little better than $300 a day to beat this level that we had last month. This is our high, our monthly high, $6,292.50 in the live trading room. That's for one contract in the 2 hours in the live trading room. Okay, sliding that off. Again, if you have not taken a free trial with us, go to www.cfrn.net/apply. Sign up for the free trial. If you have taken the free trial with us and you want to become a partner, then you need to just send us an email at support@cfrn.net. In the free trial, you get to sit in our live trading room. You get to download our platform and indicator set. You get to follow along with us on all the trades that I take and all the stuff that I do in the live trading room. We did a lot of stuff this morning, actually. I missed a bunch of trades because I was going through sort of teaching, because I do try to teach in there as well as much as I can. You know, teach you how to trade. That's part of the process. I'll get to that in a minute. When we get to gold, I'll go over what we're going over in there, okay? For right now, the crude oil, today we didn't have too many crude trades, but we did trade crude a bit. Let's see, we ended starting, I'm trying to scroll over, but you can't really see it. Anyway, we'll start in here. I didn't take any of these trades in here on crude. You know, there was an opportunity in here, an opportunity here. We were looking for a long opportunity here, but it never came. There was a short opportunity here. I was looking for the down close on this bar. I pointed out this bar right here was an actual entry, but I didn't get in there. It moved around. I got in on the long right over here. I ended up taking a break even on that, or maybe plus one tick. No, break even, I think. And on this one over here, I got short and I ended up taking two ticks profit on that. All right. I had pointed out over here at this point, I had pointed out right here at this time that if we did not push through this level that I drew this box in, if we did not push through that level right here, that it was going to be a bottom on the crude oil. And you can see it stuck, and it was a bottom. All right, from there, the crude moved up. We didn't trade it anymore. There were some opportunities in here. There was a shorting opportunity here. If I drew a trend line up the bottoms, there was a shorting opportunity here that didn't go anywhere. Another one right here. Switch directions. There was a long opportunity right in here that I would have gotten a break even on. That's all after the morning session ended, so there was really nothing much going on there on the crude. All right, other than that. Now I'll show you the Russell. On the Russell today, we had a couple of trades. Yeah, we had a few trades here on the Russell this morning. Let's scroll back here to the beginning, and let's see. We opened up over here this morning. It was going right into a weekly trading zone. We didn't trade anything going through the zone, but there was, if you had not been looking for the zone, there was, actually there was nothing in here. A down close right here, but we didn't have any divergence. Over here was the first shorting opportunity that would have given about six ticks before it turned up. This is a bottoming action right in here, and once it finally turned up, it went right back into the weekly trading zone. There was an opportunity here, but again, going right into the zone, so we weren't interested in taking that. Right over here, there was a bounce off the zone. I didn't like the way the trend line was coming down at us on that one, so I did not take that. You can see it was having trouble getting away from the weekly trading zone in here. Once it finally did, I got long in here. Before I go there, I should say right over here, there was a long trade that I missed. Right here, the bounce off the BBC with the up close right here was a long trade. I missed this move up. I jumped in on this one here, but I ended up taking a break even once it closed on the other side of the MA1. And we got a bearish cross here. I shorted over here, and I anticipated it getting down here to 971. I put my target in. I got my target right down there. All right. I don't usually have targets on my trades. I usually let price action determine what's going to happen with the trade. But in this case, I figured it was going down to the zone, so I put a target at the zone, and it took me out at my target there. I gave it back right here. You know, I had gained, I think, 10 ticks. I think we're plus 10 at this point, I think. Yeah, we're plus 10 at this point, and I gave 8 of it back right here. And that, I believe, I got a break-even trade over here, but I missed this. And this was during the break. There were some opportunities in here, long opportunities during the break. One was right in here. Another one was right in here. Well, let's see. This up close right here. And another one was this up close over here. All right, those were all long opportunities during the break. That was it on the Russell. Now, I want to say this about that. You know, I ended up plus two ticks on the Russell, plus two ticks on the soybeans, and plus two ticks on crude oil. I was positive a bit more on those. And yesterday, I am aggressive with my risk management because I do not hold anything overnight. I don't look for larger time frame moves. I trade on a 4-tick time frame, 4-tick range time frame. My moves are fast, they're quick, I'm in and I'm out, and I know where I stand at the end of every single day. I am aggressive with my risk, and I suggest that people who are starting out learn to be aggressive with their risk. Learn to know when to take it off, when to leave it on. There was a comment yesterday that if you move your stop to break even too fast, you're trading for break even. I don't see that as true at all. I wouldn't have the results that I have if that were true. Not in what I'm doing. If you're trading on a larger time frame where, you're looking for maybe 15 points on it, like say an ES trade, if you're looking for maybe 15 points on an ES trade and you're risking, say, 10 points to get that 15 points on an ES trade, in that particular case, if you move your stop to break even after it goes positive 2 points, when you're actually risking 10 points, that's... In that case there, I wouldn't suggest doing that, okay, in that case. But with what I do, once you make... We risk 8 ticks on every single trade. So, I move my stop to break even. I have set rules for moving my stop to break even. I don't have some number out there where I think the price is going to go to that's going to make me move my stop to break even. It's a number of ticks or it's a close on the other side of the MA1. That's 4 ticks profit or close on the other side of the MA1. That is when I move my stop to break even, I do it the same exact way every single time. That's just the way it works. You don't have to do it that way. You can do it however you want. If you're going for bigger time frame moves, then that probably wouldn't work well for you. But if you're trading intraday and you're going for smaller moves, but what you want to do is accumulate capital in smaller moves and not have to risk overnight trades or, swing trades or whatever the case may be, then I would suggest just using aggressive risk management. All right. Now let me jump over here to gold. I was just thinking about that as I looked at my totals for the day. Here on gold, we had a few trades here on gold. I think we had 6 trades on gold, something like that. Our first trade in here on gold was right in here. I believe our first trade on gold was, it was a minus 4 ticks on gold was our first trade. -4, that doesn't make sense. Now, we made 4 ticks on gold is what we did on our very first trade. Let me blow this up so you can see it. That's what it was. We made 4 ticks on gold on our first trade, I think. Let me find the actual first trade. Here it is. Actually, we got break even on our first trade. We made 4 ticks on gold on our second trade, or maybe our third trade, something like that. Anyway, we made 4 ticks on gold, and then we had lost one, I believe. Was that gold? No, it was soybeans. We made 4 ticks on our first trade on gold. Actually, got break even. Then we got another break even. Then we made 4 ticks. Then we missed a few trades in here. Sorry, I was mixing up my things. So we missed a few trades. And then we made 1 tick somewhere. On one of these here, we got 1 tick profit. So we're at +5, I believe. And then we made 10 ticks here and 10 ticks here. And in here, this section in here is what I really wanted to get to. When this was happening, I was showing everyone how to sort of extend or look for extensions of the price action. Okay, this one bar right here that you see, I had drawn that when price was up here. I had drawn that bar and I said, look for price to get down there. And I got this bar from this right here. All right, I got that bar from right there. And I had drawn it over here, and I said, look for price to do the same thing. All right, when it started doing it, I drew in this box, and I said, when it breaks out of this box, that'll be the beginning of that move down, where it's going to make that extension. What we have drawn on here, these are Fibonacci extension lines. We can go into that. If you take the free trial, get into the free trial. I'm going to go over that tonight in the partners meeting, how to draw the Fib extension lines. But take the free trial. I'll do it in the live trading room again sometime if you haven't taken the free trial with us. And let's see, in here we pulled back up, tested the BBC. There were plenty of opportunities in here. I got this piece here, and I think I grabbed a hold of one more piece in this. But I'm plus 25 on crudes. I mean, on gold. So I think I'm missing one trade in here. I'm missing one win trade in here, I think. But anyway, I said six, right? I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, I only have 5 trades outlined, and I took 6. Anyway. It did everything that I said it was going to do. Okay. The different colored candles, Dominic, different colored candles were on the CF Flow PB. Are you going to make it to the partners meeting tonight? Dominic, are you going to be able to get in there? If not, you'll be able to see it later. Okay. The different colored candles, it's part of the CF Flow PB. It basically tells you when a whole bunch of things are going in favor or not going in favor of your trade. Okay. I'll go over it tonight in the partners meeting. Jack, the little brown line that I added at the bottom. This one down here. Well, Jack, become a partner and you'll find out all about that. I don't want to go into that here because I don't want to confuse anybody. All right. Let's see. We got a bearish cross in here. There was opportunity to short in here. Big move down. But we had bullish divergence, so there was no trade in here. When this happened in here, once this was happening, I had drawn in this box and I had told everyone, this looks like bottoming action because the cycle is in the middle and it's moving up. So it really looks like it's bottoming right here. We didn't put in a lower swing on the move down before the green line got into the cycle. And it was a direction change. By the time I ended the morning session, as I was closing it out, it had moved up over here to given this long trade right here. I don't think it had given this yet, but it gave another one right after it. Pulled back through. Now, right in here is topping action. Right here is topping action. Okay, I don't know where it is right now, but it went up a little bit above that. But gold right now is pretty choppy. Now, there's some trade setups in here that you could take. Right in here, there was a long trade right there. You know, for about 6 or 8 ticks, but, you know, I was done back here. Anyway, let me slide gold off, and we'll move on to some of the other things. We didn't trade the euro, but the euro had some nice moves in here. The euro did, the yen did. All the currencies were moving around quite a bit today. Okay. And speaking of the currencies, you'll note that I'm still on June currencies. And the reason I'm still on June currencies is because the volume on June is twice the volume of the September. All right. The volume of the M is twice the volume of the U. If whatever you're using for trading, you know, to trigger your trades, to put yourself into a trade, if it's got nothing to do with volume, or if you don't care about slippage, because, you know, on a low volume market, there's a low volume market is a volume with little liquidity. If you don't care about that stuff, you know, you can roll to the new contract as soon as it becomes available. But if your stuff has anything to do with the volume, you know, like the flow of the market, the flow of orders coming into the market, and, you know, what type of orders they are, then you're going to want to pay attention to the volume on rollover day, or as you approach rollover day. Okay, the expiration of the currency contracts is actually Monday. The expiration of the futures, the stuff on the CME anyway, the M contract, is next Thursday. The volume for the volume for the currency contracts typically doesn't exceed the current contract. The new contract typically doesn't exceed the current contract until Monday. But, you know, right now the current contract has still got twice the volume of the new contract. Okay, just wanted to let everybody know that those are the things to look out for, depending on what you use, you know, depending on how you trade, and what you use to trade yourself into trades. Anyway, I pointed out some trades here. This is the 6E, but I'm going to take everything off of the 6E. I don't think I have anything on the 6E. I guess I don't have any drawing objects. And I'll change it to the 6B really quick, and we can look at that. Okay. 6B. Had some very nice opportunities right here. Here was one. Here was another one. Over here on the short side, here was one. Here was another one. Here was, well, you need it down close below this level. Actually, it wasn't until over here and you ran out of divergence. Earlier on in the day, it was a long trade right in here on the 6B, a short trade right there. When the European markets opened up, bearish cross, divergence, you're looking for a down close. Right in here was a short. Right in here was a short. Right in here was a short. Okay. You could have shorted all those spots on the 6B this morning. And once the U.S. markets opened up and it had a run up right here, there was some nice opportunity there on the 6B. Now let's look at the 6J really quick because the yen had some nice movement this morning too. Hang on a second. It's still loading it. All right. We'll start in here. Okay. Bullish divergence. You would have needed an up close above the trend line. You didn't have any pull away right there. So the first opportunity would have been right up here, which really didn't go very far. That would have been a break even for me. The next opportunity, because that put in a higher swing, would have been right here, right there for the move up. The next opportunity after that would have been right there for that move up. Still moving along. Nothing in here. Nothing in here. Nothing in here. Possible short right here. That would have gone nowhere. You would have stopped out on that. Move up here. Nice long right in here. Got you up to this spot right here where you could have gone long again. As it kept going, there was a short opportunity right there for the move down. Change directions, bullish divergence down here, pull away, all that stuff. Long opportunity right there for the move up. A follow-up long opportunity right in here for the move up. Change directions again. No real divergence down here, so you would have missed the first move, but you could have grabbed onto the second one right in here. And the third one right here. That's pretty much it on the yen. All right, so I did the 6E, the 6B, and the 6J. That's enough sixes. On the ES, we pointed out a couple trades this morning on the ES, and we pointed out for the guys in the live trading room, as we were approaching this weekly trading zone up here, I went over what to look for. We were talking about how to see the end of a trend and all that. I'm not going to go over it now, but I pointed it out over here. I was doing the same exact thing here as it was doing over here as we approached the weekly trading zone. You guys want to learn about that, take the free trial, become a partner. Either one works for me. I'm not going to go over it all right now, but I am going to say we did end up going through the weekly trading zone, as you can see. We had more setups than this, but this was one setup that I pointed out this morning. Okay, there were more than that that happened this morning, but that's the only one that I actually pointed out. Actually, there was one over here that was would have been a break-even. It went a point, and this one over here went up a couple of points. There were more than that on the 6E. We actually looked at the YM this morning, too, but I don't think I have that chart up anymore. Natural gas inventories came out this morning. There was a bunch of opportunity there on natural gas. On the NQ, now, as always, on the NQ, the YM, There's always a ton of opportunity on these markets. You know, I was just these right here were a few spots that I pointed out this morning. Selling in here, selling in here, selling in here, buying in here, buying in there, buying in there. And you could have done it again and again and again, all the way up and down this NQ all morning. Soybeans. Soybeans were a little tricky for me today in that the first trade worked out pretty well. I had said way back here when we shorted this first time, look for it to get down to 15.18. Okay. I entered the trade. I ended up taking 4 ticks profit on it. It pulled back up. It gave another opportunity to jump back into the same thing right here. Did it? No, it didn't. Sorry. We didn't get a lower swing. We needed a lower swing. Right over here is where it gave another opportunity, but we didn't have any divergence in there. So that would have been a momentum trade. I was saying then look for it to get down to 15.18. It got down here. It gave another opportunity. I got short here. I took 4 ticks profit on this one. I lost 8 ticks on that one, so I was -4 at that point. Right over here, you know, I said watch for it to get down to 15.18. You can see it went down to 15.18, and I said if it gets below there, watch for 15.10, and then watch for 15.02 or 03 is what I said. As it was moving down, the slingshot wasn't letting us in the trade. Okay, until over here. I took this short trade right over here, and I ended up taking 6 ticks profit on that to put me back to positive on the beans. But just look what it did. It went all the way down. 1510 is where I said look for it to get down to this level right in here. It slowed down a little bit when it got there, and then it dropped through there. I would still say look for it to get down to 1503. Okay. There was a bunch of opportunity there on the beans this morning. We took one, two, three trades on the beans, and we ended positive on the beans. Okay. Let's see, the NQ, the ES, the YM, the Russell. I didn't do the YM, but gold, crude, all the sixes, copper. I didn't trade copper this morning, but there was some opportunity to trade copper. Okay. Oh, this is natural gas. Anyway, it's all the same stuff over and over, guys. I'm not going to get into it. It's getting late. It's almost 1 o'clock. If you have not taken a free trial with us, go to www.cfrn.net/apply. Sign up for the free trial. In the free trial, you get to watch me put all these trades on, talk about all these markets in real time as they're moving around. So far for the month of May in the live trading room alone, in that two-hour session trading one contract, we're up $2,770 a contract. Last month, for the total of the month, we were up $6,292 a contract. As we scroll back through the months of the year, February 7th was our down day of the year. We had one down day, and we were minus $80 a contract on that day. These yellow days, we were either break-even or positive, but we didn't get our 2 points. You can see over here, I keep track of the amount of time it took us to get to 2 points, the number of minutes it took us to get to 2 points. And, you know, some days it's really easy. Like 2 days ago, it took me 43 seconds to get to 2 points. Some days, like today and yesterday, it took a little longer. I had several times I could have gotten the 2 points today if I would have closed out of the open trades that I had. Anyway, if you want to take the free trial, cfrn.net/apply. If you haven't taken the free trial, that's where you go. If you have taken the free trial, you want to become a partner, get into the partners meeting tonight, send us an email at support@cfrn.net. That is it. All right. We can head out to Vegas, I think. Is David in? David must be in by now. Yes, David is in. All right, Dwayne. Can head up.
I suspect he is, and Miss Robin Dane is with us as well today.
All right.
And so you covered the meeting. What methodologies can you introduce to me for trading the ES? Hey, can you take this chat since I'm going to go
over? I can. Yep. Stick it over here. Send it on over.
Transfer it to your neck of the woods.
Okay. And I'll open Robin's mic.
He just left the chat. So okay. Here's what I'll do. I'll message you here in GoTo his email address.
Okay.
And you can do the sorry I missed you in the live chat thingamajig.
Okay.
10-4.
Got it.
Oh, and let me
open Robin's mic already.
Hey, sorry. Robin. You don't say nothing. You got to wait for the official intro. Yep. All right, guys. We're going to pause for brief station identification. We'll be right back with none other than Mr. David Williams from Page Trader and Ms. Robin Dane, the trading coach. Don't touch your radio dial.
You're listening to CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living. To learn more about who we are, what we do, and how we do it, call toll-free 1-866-928-3310. And we'll send you out a no-obligation information kit absolutely free. 866-928-3310.
Morning, Dwayne.
Good morning and welcome to the show.
And good morning, everybody. It's a great day in Las Vegas. And I'm gonna mute myself for a while because, of course, my lawn guys are right outside my lawn with the blower, so I'm gonna turn it off so you can't hear me for a while. So I'm listening. Keep going.
We'll miss you.
Well, you know, there's less and less homes in Las Vegas that have lawns where people can mow them.
I was just going to say, how do they mow? Do they actually have a mower? Do they go around with scissors? I mean, is it a big lawn?
Well,
how long are they going to be there?
They have a mower. They have a mower, but they have to blow the leaves, and we've had a lot of wind, and so the leaves are all over the place, and you want them out
because
they end up in the pool, and you don't want them to end up in the pool. So they're out there blowing, so I'm going to turn my thing off now again because he's coming right around.
Okay.
Right. I'll be back.
Yeah, here in the desert, very popular is what they call xeriscape. So you can actually have some colorful plants and bushes and trees that use very little water, and then they spread the little rock, pebbles, gravel, whatever you call it. I mean, let's face it, there's nothing like a nice, big, green, lush lawn. But in the desert, it's just not you can have them, but it's going to cost you, and sometimes it's just not practical.
Yeah, I actually do. My house is an older home, probably built in the early 90s, where way back then they still were building homes with lawns, and I have a front lawn, small, but I also have a sizable, and my house is small, but I've got a decent-sized backyard, and beautiful, lush, green lawn that I love taking care of, and I love seeing it, and you see less and less of that. Actually, it started as a conservation, which is nothing wrong with conserving, started with conservation of water and resources, and then it turned into what we're seeing more and more of now, which is that the whole or a lot of people, and I mean a large number of people, are becoming interested in low-maintenance living, living without it's actually becoming a thing as opposed to just conserving, where they don't want to have a lawn and a person that has to mow it and the maintenance and sprinkler heads being knocked off and so on. They want something that requires very little maintenance, very much like we do out here in Las Vegas, same with Arizona where Dwayne is. And these small little bubblers that are out there that just bubble the plants, and there's the remainder of it is rock and so on. We're also seeing in New York people moving into micro apartments, which are really 250 square feet. Very small place, but it's definitely livable. But people are doing that because they're saying, I want the low maintenance, low, if I can, low cost living. We're seeing the whole trend is going that way. It started as a conservation thing, but it's moving that way. And that's why you're seeing new homes and even big homes. We have homes out here which are 2,500 and 2,800 square feet, 2,200 square feet, and they have extremely low amounts of shrubbery and bushes, like you were saying. The colorful stuff that'll grow, and then the rest of it might be rock, or maybe it's just lined up in dirt and it looks nice. These are bushes and so on. But you don't have to do anything. There's no mowing. There's no nothing. Even backyards are going away. The whole concept of a backyard in homes is starting to go away because, again, low maintenance, nothing there. So many houses have very small spaces behind them. Even some townhomes do. But anyway, I'm just mentioning that because she said she's mowing her backyard, and I pictured a nice big lush lawn.
Yeah,
and that's what Michael, you have, I'm sure, because you have a whole
Michael,
house.
Are you in a trade right now?
No.
So can I grab the chart?
Yeah. Sorry, I just realized I just brought a big gold chart over.
I thought if you were trying to show something, I would keep it. But
I was looking at something.
So okay, my chart's up. Yeah. Okay, here's my little spot of grass.
Okay.
Yeah, that's about what I have. Well, it's a little bit bigger than that, not much.
Now this picture was taken in 2006, so the land, these bushes have all matured. They're really nice. That one's actually dead. But all across here, it's big. Gosh, I didn't realize how big those shrubs have gotten. They really have filled out. And the grass is really nice and green now. That's what it was like when we moved in. So, but that's kind of a typical Phoenix, Arizona front yard right there. It takes you 5 minutes. The other day I went outside. There was a guy down the street. I didn't want to break out the lawnmower and everything. And he's cutting the grass like two doors down. And I says, hey, man, I have a lawnmower and everything, but I've got to run. And could you just do my lawn for me, you know? He's like, oh, well, yeah, I can give you an estimate. I go, no. That's it. I go, you're looking at it. He goes, how about $30? I go, no, not the backyard. That little postage stamp, that little spot right there. I mean, you turn around three times with the mower and you're done, you know. And he goes, yeah, $30. I go, no, I'll come home and do it myself. So,
yeah. Well, that's some street negotiation right there.
Good Lord, $30? Come on.
What would have been a good price, Dwayne?
I think $10.
Oh, okay.
Because, I mean, he was already there. His lawnmower was already out of the truck. I mean, that would be like found money for him.
Sure, that's a couple beers.
Yeah, it would have bought him and his partner lunch at McDonald's or something. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, anyway, so keep an eye out for the way that there really is a trend underway towards much cleaner, much less space, much more space efficient, and so on, living. And even people who are buying bigger houses are foregoing, because of this trend, yards, and the house is now a little bigger because they don't have to save room and land for a yard. And, you know, all of us who have yards, because we have older homes, hey, we're happy to have a yard. It's a wonderful thing to have a yard.
Oh, yeah.
Especially a backyard. Backyard's a wonderful thing. That's a very nice, wonderful place to spend time. You step outside, you know, you've got a lawn or some rose bushes or whatever you have, and it's very nice. But those days, those homes, that whole thing is moving away, and we're going to a whole new phase, which is going to go for decades, possibly more than 100 years. It's a huge trend that I believe is starting, which is the trend away from large yard and maintenance and so on to very efficient living. And we're starting to see it again with the micro apartments in New York, which, by the way, that's not a new idea. That's only new here, but it's been going on in Japan for an awfully long time, these very, very small places. And you'd be surprised that a person or two can live in 200, I know it's very small, but they can live comfortably in 250 square feet. It's hard to believe, but they can. There's a kitchen. There's a little TV area. There's, you know, all the stuff just shrunk down, and they're doing that in New York now, and it's going to be – that trend is going to continue. So there it is. You know, you're going to have to take your pick. If you buy something new, you're going to be getting a lot less land, and you're going to be getting a lot – potentially more home, but less land and less maintenance and so on. Now, I do want to say something else real quick. This is just out here in Las Vegas, probably where many people live, we have people who are less fortunate, who might be standing at a street corner or on off a freeway off ramp with a sign asking for help. And of course, help means in the form of, you know, can you give them a few dollars to help them? And it's very nice, because you'll drive up and you'll see people. People are very kind. You know, somebody will be standing there, and they've seen it many times, and they'll reach in their pocket, and they'll wave the guy over, and the man will come over and, you know, hand him some money, which is help for him. And that's, you know, that's very nice when people – to see people do that. And then, of course, there are people who do that as a lifestyle. They're not just in a position where they need something today. They're going to do this every day. And then there's people who do this as a almost as a trick or a scam. And I, strangely enough, ran into a new one yesterday, and I'd like to relate it to you. If anybody in the audience has seen this or heard this, I had not seen this before. I was in a car with someone, and we were driving and came to a light, and we were the second, we're in the middle lane, and a car had gotten stuck in the ingress to a gas station. And so all of the traffic had just pulled up, and you could clearly see a car, and a man emerged from the car, and he directly ran right up to me, right up. I was the passenger, and he literally looked like he came from another dimension. I mean, like the 1960s, somebody living in a trailer park in the 60s. If you can just picture whatever that is in your mind, you got it right. It really doesn't matter. You got it right. He burst out of that car. He came running up to my window, and he was saying, hey, man, you know, we're out of gas. You know, we just need to get into the gas station here. You know, can you help us out? Can you give me a few bucks for gas and so on? And I said, actually, I only have credit cards on me, and we're on our way to an appointment. So I'm sorry, I can't help right now.
Oh, and he had one of those square things where he could take your credit card on his cell phone?
No, he didn't have that. He wasn't that sophisticated. he didn't have that. I wouldn't be surprised to see that, though. And then he ran to another car, and then a nice guy got out of the car and helped him push his car back up into, you know, there's another fellow who's the driver, try to push the car up the ingress into, is that the right word, ingress, into the gas station. So the guy tried to help, but the car wasn't moving for whatever reason. So the guy that was helping, who was maybe a 18-year-old kid, got back into his car, and we all drove off. And so I thought, you know, something about that struck me. I don't know what it was, and I didn't identify it at the time. It just, something about it struck me as odd. And we went and did our business, and on the way back, we took a wrong street, and it was that street. And guess what we saw when we came back?
What?
The guy in his same car, in the same spot, bursting out of the car when the traffic pulled up to the light. Yes, he did. So
no,
that everyone that
drove,
the audience, the newly arrived audience at the stoplight, sees the car there. He comes bursting out of the car, and he was coming up to people and asking them for money to get gasoline. There you are. And I thought to myself,
that's
beautiful. You know, it's like Get Smart used to say on Get Smart, you know, if they only use that for goodness instead of evil or whatever,
Well, you know, the problem with that is that, you know, you get these really good-hearted people that, like me, that give somebody something like that, and that happened to me at the Home Depot.
But listen, it's not every time. Many times you give, but then you
come out and you see them trying to scam somebody else, and then you're like, you lose faith in giving anybody anything. Mm-hmm. You know, and I have to believe there are legitimate people out there that are homeless.
Of course there are.
That don't have money, that, you know, I see them in New York all the time. I see them in Vegas all the time, mm-hmm. you know, at the stoplights and the veterans, and it gets me crazy when I see them. And, you know, I don't know. I just, you know, we've got to help these people somehow get out of this rut and work. If they'd learn to work, they'd be fine. Took the energy that they were doing to work, they would be fine.
Let me tell you something. Any work that I can think of is better than standing outside with a sign in 110-degree temperature for hours on end. Any work is better than that. And, you know, that's my statement. But my point was that this was really a beautifully executed, clever setup.
Newly
arrived people drive up to the stoplight, and they don't know that this car is in the same position it was an hour ago. the show starts from there. Now,
yikes.
Come on. I have not seen that before. I'm 56 years old. I haven't seen that before. I almost wanted to drive by and applaud. It was that good. I mean, it was a very clever thing that they were doing. I know it's a scam. Everybody knows it's a scam. But it was just a good example. I was really marveling. I was like, God, look at that. This guy, you know, somebody could, he could be working for somebody doing something better.
Well, I need to make a small apology for not being here yesterday. We had a call-out alert by Red Rock that there were 5 children that were missing from the orphanage. And so we had to go out, but it was under what they call, we're not allowed to say anything to anybody because there were kids. And the good news is the kids were found. They ran away. And they were found in a fast food place, and somebody noticed them from the news and then turned them in. But we were out there early in the morning for a couple hours and trying to find these kids. So that's why I wasn't here. So I apologize.
Did you get good results or what happened?
Well, they found the kids. We didn't find them, but some you know, pedestrians, again, noticed them in this fast food place and called the police, and then they were picked up. So they were taken, and they were okay, but there was a whole family of 5 kids, and they were all brothers and sisters. And, you know, it's tenuous for these kids because they get put in the orphanage, and it's very difficult to have 5 kids picked up by one family. you know, they're going to split them up, and that's what they really fear. Mm-hmm. And so they, I think they left because they felt that they were going to get split up again. I think they had been split up. They were reunited, and so they didn't want to be split up again, so they went out to go on their own, and the oldest one was 15. Hmm. It was very sad, very sad, very sad.
That's too bad, yeah. That really is. Hey, yeah. Michael, are you still there?
No, I guess he's trading his...
Okay. He's on the phone. So, but the kids are okay. Everybody's
safe. Kids are okay. We're all good. Yep.
Hmm. Wow. Well, Robin, good for you. I really, you know, the fact that you put forth your time, your effort, and your energy to, you know, being concerned about someone and something other than yourself is just, it's a very admirable trait. We all can learn from that. Everyone of us.
When I hear these scam things, gets me crazy because, you know, you try to make a difference, you know, and you get these people that just, you know, just turn things the other way. People don't want to help when they have something like that happen to them and they realize it's a scam. And I've been hoodwinked I don't know how many times, you know, and I try not to, you know, given what it is, and I get angry when I realize it's a scam. And I.
Well, Robin, may I give you permission to say no?
I do. I do say no. I you know, the last time I did a say no during Christmas time in the Kohl's in the Lowe's parking lot when they were riding around the car asking for money, and you know, I just lost my home and my job and blah blah blah, and then I came out and they were still riding around. So yeah, I am saying no, but it's, you know, again, I'm a giver. What can I do? I'm a giver.
Good for you.
I can't help it. I said, I guess I'd rather be hoodwinked than be a terrible person.
Saying no doesn't make you a terrible person.
Yeah, I know. I would just rather, you know, be the person that I am without an adjustment. And
yeah.
I don't give away tons if I do anything, but, you know, I give a little bit. So anyway. I hate to see the veterans out there. That really gets me cuckoo.
The guy yesterday, we were on the way, and he had one leg, you know. And my wife and I, because we spent so many years in ministry, we ran halfway houses, so we're very close to the metal in that whole situation. But we pulled up to the red light. It was right by the freeway, and I looked at the guy, and I looked over at my wife, and I go, "That's pretty hard to fake." She goes, "Yep." I mean, the guy, he had one leg. I mean, he was missing a limb, and he very well may have lost it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife, she started crying, you know. In fact, I think he did have some kind of a sign about being a veteran. So she started crying. She says, can you imagine that this guy, he goes to serve his country, gets his leg blown off. Now, back home here in America, he's left to stand. I go, "Well, honey, you know, I understand what you're saying, but, you know, there may be more to the story." And she goes, "Yeah, I know, Dwayne, but that doesn't change the fact." And I go, "You're right, it doesn't." And so, you know, I hadn't called Bucks and says, "Hey, man, just get out of this heat. It's just dangerous out here."
Yeah.
I mean, it was right in the middle of the afternoon, like 3:30. He goes, "Yeah." He goes, "Couple more bucks and I'll get out of the heat." I said, "All right, man." So anyway, so my postage stamp – just to put it in perspective, that's a little postage stamp of grass. And apparently for $30, the guy thought I wanted all this back here cut. See, you know, the back 40.
No. He wanted $30 for your front yard. He didn't think anything. He wanted $30 for your front yard, Dwayne.
So this is what we do in Arizona, guys. We live in the dirt, and then we just, like, showcase a little spot of grass out front. But you can see my neighbors, most of them opted for that desert landscape that we're talking about, which done right, looks just fine. You know, it's not green, but so.
Go ahead, Dwayne.
Well, I was going to say, my brother-in-law, he just redid his front yard, and he bought, here at the Home Depot, you can buy what's called bobbed sod. It's the same, grass, the same sod that they use at Bank One Ballpark. Except it's no longer Bank One Ballpark. Some new bank named it. Gosh, it slips my mind at the moment. But everybody still calls it Bob because it's just easy to say. When it was first built, the big, where the Diamondbacks play And so you can buy that exact same turf, grass, sod that they have at the Home Depots. And he put that in his front yard. And, man, I was over there Saturday night. My niece just came back from Afghanistan, and that's where we had her welcome home party. And his yard looks, and he's got a pretty nice-sized front yard. It looks beautiful.
Mm-hmm. I have seen a couple things that I've seen out here. I have seen some beautiful, I'm not sure if it would be called a xeriscape, but it has the rock. It has beautiful, there are some really pretty desert and other types of flowers and bushes that are very hardy that you can, and if you want to see them, just drive by the hotels, because the hotels have beautiful fronts that have all these different things that can be watered, and they'll take the heat and stuff.
Yeah.
So you can have nice color in your neighborhood, even though you might have some of the rock and all that stuff. And honestly, for me personally, I don't mind. I don't, you know, water is not that expensive, and I don't use that much of it. I like having a lawn as long as I can, and I live in an old enough home where I can have a lawn. So
have a lawn as long as I can.
Yes, because
it's like because the heat's going to get it.
No. It's because the government here, the state of Nevada,
point
was coming out and saying we're considering stopping people from having. There aren't, when they build new homes, there's no new lawns.
No,
you're not allowed to have a lawn. They don't grow lawns anymore in new homes. So they made rulings about this, and that's what I meant.
Yeah.
Now, for me growing up in the South where everybody has a lawn, that smell of fresh cut grass, I mean, that just triggers all kinds of emotions
memories.
Sure. And,
that's
great. Nice. Yeah, that's wonderful.
That's a nice.
But speaking of regulations, did you hear what we had to go through yesterday? Compliments of Nicolas Cage. Compliments of Nicolas Cage, we now have tax relief for those people who want to do movies here in Las Vegas. And so with that, we now have some great opportunities for film companies to come in and really do some good filming here and bring that stuff out of Hollywood. And I think people would rather do them here than in Hollywood. So, you know, instead of creating a Vegas.
So this is an incentive. This is an incentive
an
for
incentive,
them to come here and do filming here and stuff. That's great.
Filming here, which is very, very good. And that was really pushed through by Nicolas Cage.
Well, that's great. I have lunch with him, as you know.
Yes, I know.
I really
said
do.
That. Yes, you said that at the sushi place. And
several times.
And I'm waiting to see him there. And, that's very exciting. It's very exciting that he – and it's nice that, you know, people try to help – these big stars try to help the area. I'm actually going after them to see if I can get a truck for Red Rock. I'm going to go to the casinos and see if I can get somebody to donate a $25,000 truck.
They do quite a bit of filming here in Phoenix.
For
primarily the same reason they would want to do it in Vegas too, I guess, is that you have so much – good weather. I mean, when you try to film in New York or even in L.A., you never know when it's going to cloud up and it's going to rain, maybe for a couple of days. But they come here and they can just film chill. They need a rainy scene, then they have to go somewhere else, like, or just turn on the hose. I guess they have artificial rain. But, we have tax breaks for the movie companies and here in Arizona.
Well, it's smart to do. I mean, it's – but again, it just shows you – what they're trying to do to lure people away from California, into Vegas because of that situation.
Right. This is what we're talking about.
Yeah.
This is what's happening to California. People are companies and other things are happening where they're going to have to, they won't have the wherewithal to ask them back. Like what we talked about yesterday with New York ran businesses out of town with their insane taxes, their state tax, their list tax, their that tax. They were warned repeatedly and the businesses all left, and now they have to go chase them down and try to bring them back. Yep. Why didn't they just listen in the first place? And the reason the answer is because that's what government doesn't do. It doesn't listen to you.
Yeah.
So,
well, I'll tell you, people should be following Texas because Texas got the formula somehow right. They're really doing some really strong things.
Absolutely.
A lot of companies are
moving and they're going to move.
I made some pretty good money leasing out the church sanctuary on a number of occasions for movies and movie trailers, a book trailer, commercials, because it's – It's historic, and they come here to film primarily for the beautiful weather outside, but then other, you know, businesses and whatnot in the area benefit because they need to do some interior shots as well. Uh-huh. And so they often rent local businesses, storefronts, all kinds of things.
Oh, then
you go downtown, you'll see they've got a whole alley blocked off where they're filming, and then they'll – in fact, they erected an entire – they took one of the streets in downtown Phoenix here a few months ago and erected an entire fake storefront facade kind of thing to make it look like – I think it was the 40s or something they were shooting for.
Huh.
And, it came out pretty well.
Well, that's pretty cool. Plus, you know, all the local businesses benefit from it. I mean, there's just all sorts of great things that happen with that. You know, they're there for you know, a month or so or 2 months, and, you know, you've got the businesses now having, you know, the supermarkets and the fast food places and whatever. And so it's good. It's good for the economy.
We have some new things that are good here. We do have some new things. One last thing I was going to mention about what we have. For those of you who may be coming to Las Vegas for whatever reason in the near future, the Michael Jackson show
just
opened.
Yes.
And my good friend, Greg Howe, you can go to greghowe.com and you can download his new album, or you can go to, sorry for the shameless pitch, but you can go to iTunes and download the band, which is called Marigold, M-A-R-A, Gold, Marigold, and listen to the music. I'd love to hear from somebody and see what you think of it. I think it's just absolutely banging.
Explain what he does with the Michael Jackson.
He plays the guitar.
Well, Greg is a guitarist, and he actually is training or teaching the woman guitarist who actually has – they offered the job to him. He passed on it, but they gave it to a woman guitarist who is in the band that is playing while Michael Jackson is performing. Mm-hmm. But you might say, well, Michael Jackson is dead. And then I would say, well, but that isn't stopping him from performing there.
So who's playing the part? Is this a hologram, or is somebody playing the role of Michael?
No. It is the most sophisticated hologram in production, in any production show right now.
Really?
And I don't know if you've seen what they're able to do with holograms. They have taken them to levels far beyond probably what most people are accustomed to believing. You can actually find yourself in a position where you cannot, with it the black background behind them, you cannot tell the difference between a person who's a hologram, unless you stick your hand right through them, and a normal person. And so Michael Jackson performs nightly there. If you come out, for people who are coming out for our seminar, you know, that would be something fun to do. Go to the Michael Jackson show if that's something that would be appealing to you. But Greg told me, I have not seen it yet, that since he's there in rehearsals and so on with this woman guitarist, that it's over the top. It's
really
so good that it's over the top. So it's really going to be – it really is an amazing show from what he's told me. So, and it does use holograms and very, very high-tech scenery and all kinds of stuff, including,
of course,
I have
to get over there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to have to do that.
All right. Well, with that introduction, Dwayne,
yes,
would you like to get to the markets?
Oh, not yet. Not
no?
Not yet,
no?
My friend.
Not even close.
No. Not even close. No, I'll be very brief, but it's a proud papa moment. I got to share it with my family here. Tomorrow night, my wife and I and Emily and Gabe, we're going to watch the Phoenix Mercury play. We're not courtside. We're not in the cheap seats. We're in a luxury suite with food, no less.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
Go ahead and ask me, how did a humble country boy such as myself stumble into such a thing? My son won it in some kind of a reading contest.
Oh, isn't that fabulous? Yay!
It is awesome. Yeah, and you know, when he first came to live with us at 4, every night, it didn't matter if I was tired, angry, bitter, whatever, I would put it aside for 15 minutes and go in and read to him.
Uh-huh.
And that was... It became one of my favorite times of the day and one of his favorite times. I mean, it'd be early afternoon. The sun hasn't even started to set. And he, Dad, are you going to read to me tonight? Yes, son, I will. And I just want to encourage all parents out there who might have a child of that age, be faithful with reading and encourage your child to read and to develop an interest in reading. Because if you can read, you can literally do anything. If you can read and you've got a browser and Google, you can do surgery. I mean, it's and so I always talked up reading to him. And every night we'd get ready to read. He's ready to go to sleep. I'd say, now, son, when I get old, we got a deal. I read to you tonight, but when I get old, my sight starts to fail. You're going to read it? Oh, Daddy, yes, I will.
Oh, is that great?
And we did that for years and years, until he, you know, learned to read. And even after he learned to read, Dad, can you read me a story? Well, son, you can read your own story, but Dad, it's not the same. So he's 11 now, so we've sort of weaned off of that. I don't read him too many stories anymore, but occasionally I'll still break down and do it. But he really loves to. Most kids, they want to go do this thing or that thing, or he's like a bonus for him. Like if there's some chore that needs to be done, can I read for a couple hours? I'll say, what do you want to do? I need this chore done. What do you want to do? Can I just have a couple hours of alone time to go in my room and read? I'm like, well, okay. But inside, I'm just like jumping up and down like a little kid because it worked. I planted the seed. I watered it. I picked out the weeds, and I nurtured it. And, you know, God provided the increase, of course. But I've got a young man now that is hungry for knowledge. So I'm just tickled pink. And as a bonus, we get to go see the Phoenix Mercury, right? Which is the ladies' basketball team, right? Did I get that right? I'm not a sports guy. Is that what the Phoenix Mercury is? Isn't it? It's the ladies' basketball team here in Phoenix? It is. Yeah. Gotta be. So anyway, we're going.
You seem very excited to go to something you're not sure what it is.
It's because my son won it and because we got the luxury suite with the food, and I'm sure that's what it is, Phoenix Mercury. It's a ladies' equivalent of the NBA.
That's great.
Yeah, it really is. And so he feels good because, you know, he achieved something. He was rewarded for his hard work, and he gets to treat mom and dad to a night out. So he's on top of the world, you know.
He is fabulous. Fabulous.
Thank you,
I'm so proud of him. That's so awesome.
Yeah, he really is. He's not without his issues, as
well,
we all
they're all
are.
Kids do.
Well, you know.
But that's a great achievement.
Yes, it is. I'm really proud of him. So thank you for saying that. And now it's official. We can go to the market.
Well, very good. One thing I would like to add to that, and I'm going to outdo you because we are not going to go to the market yet.
All right.
Okay. You know, I just want to say this, and everybody knows this because everybody's been to it at some time. Have you ever met somebody who can't read, an adult? Have you ever been somewhere where somebody says, I'm sorry, I can't read?
Yes, and it's heartbreaking.
It's pathetic, and it's heartbreaking, and it makes you feel, oh my God, what a waste! What a how can you all these bad feelings come rushing through you?
I have a handyman who can't read, and I've offered to send him to school, to night school or something, and pay for it, and he won't go.
Yeah, it's a very embarrassing thing for an adult, and especially if they have children that can read and they can't. It's even worse, and they go into a shell, and they get very, very quiet, and they don't enter. It changes their whole life. It affects their entire life.
Now, having said that, there's a country on Earth where the men never allow their women to learn to read. They keep them dumb. Guess where that is?
Well, I'm going to guess. I don't think it's Saudi Arabia. Is it Iran? I don't know.
I was going to say Iran.
It's the Middle East. It's Iran, Afghanistan. It's just such a backwards world that they're so afraid of their women having anything over them or understanding what's going on. They need to purposely keep them dumb. What kind of man, I would be asking them, what kind of man are you that you need to keep your woman dumb? Literally, so that you can be sure that you have control or power over her. What a worthless version of what it means to be a man that you would have that, or that you would be a parent that would raise a child purposefully so that they cannot read, so that they could get married in your society or whatever it is. However it works out there, it's such ignorance that I cannot fathom that we live in the year 2013 and this is still
going
on.
Holla back, David. Holla back. Come on.
That's because they know that the women are superior. They know if the women had 1 ounce of anything.
Oh my! Now it's getting deep in here. Oh boy.
Well, all right, now we can officially go to the markets. Okay, the markets are important. We really do have to talk about them a little bit. And we'll start with the S&P 500. It's been a great 2 weeks in the markets, a lot of movement.
It really has,
and I think the two most important weeks of this year so far. And we're halfway through the month of June, which means that we're literally almost smack dab in the middle of this year. So we've already... somehow.
Which means before this show's over, it'll be Christmas. So
it'll be Christmas, right. Okay, so let's start with the S&P. We've gone over in the last sessions during this week, we've gone over the position of the S&P many times. So I'm just going to say a few things about it, and then, Dwayne, you can chime in. For today, you know, obviously what has already happened is the market has gone down. This is now the second attempt at this market getting down to what we originally forecast would be the final target on the downside for the decline, which was 1594. And they weren't able to do it. They got down to 1597.50 today and previously got down to 1596.50. To me, and in our way of thinking, that means there is hidden buying pressure in the market when they make this type of attempt and cannot complete it. Furthermore, something that we're going to be using in our institutional stuff, this is for longer-term trading, but the date of June 17th is going to be very important for us, especially if the market is able to, as an example, rally further. You know, today is just one day. June 17th is Monday. Friday is the 14th, so this is a Friday-Monday combo kind of thing. That means that Friday is one day early for the 17th, and Tuesday is one day late. So if the market were to be able to advance tomorrow up further and complete some more important targets, you know, 24 we've hit today, and we've 24 has been reached, and they're reacting off of it. If they were able to get beyond that, it would actually set up a very good trade for a decline into the 17th. So I can tell you that right now. And this is instead of talking about what has happened, this is what we think is going to happen. The normal thing would be for the market to move higher. And so if we get that, we'll be talking about it tomorrow on the program, and that'll set up a really nice trade that probably could be traded just intraday, but probably would require an overnight to complete on the downside. So this is something that's going to be in our institutional reports a little bit later today. So this is something that's interesting and exciting right now because it's a setup that obviously is purely technical, has nothing to do with news or anything, but in many cases the moves are supplemented and later attributed to certain news events and things like that. This isn't really a huge move we're talking about. It's just a very tradable move in the S&P. There you go, Dwayne. If you want to cover something, go ahead.
I think I've pretty much covered it, guys. What we're waiting for is we're going to trade this one of two ways. We will go long above 1626. We will go short below 1617, and our targets will be the zone up here. We've got really nothing in our way once we break 26. It's an open trip right up to 33. If the reverse unfolds, once we take out 17, we've already pointed out the only real obstacle that we're concerned about is right there. Okay? We're going to go ahead and use 17 as our trigger. So again, consider being long above 1626. Or short below 1617, whichever presents first, and the target on both of those will be the corresponding zones. That's it. I'm sending that out as a tweet, guys, but you got it live here before it hit the net. You want to go to gold?
Right. Sure. Let's take a zip over to the gold market. Okay, we are watching gold as we have over the last several days for some sign of life. We had forecast a bottom due in gold on June 10th plus a day, and it came in on June 11th. They're still in the process of bouncing off of that, so I don't have a lot to add right now. I would like to see today, worst case, close above 1370, which is a relatively important level for this particular setup that we're doing. So, you know, that's basically it. We're watching. Gold is in a weak position. We think it's going to make new lows into the third quarter before the bottom's really in, or it's likely to do so. So to be long here is a little bit, it's really just for a technical bounce, but it is tradable, and that's what we're doing right now. Of course, we've already booked some. We have a stop in, so, you know, we're going to manage the risk of this trade because the market demands that. In order to do well in the markets, you have to manage the risk. So you manage the risk in every other area of your life. Why not, and why shouldn't it be in the market as well? Because it's no fun? Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. It's actually a very important edge that you have, the ability to manage the risk. Imagine if they took it away from you. What if they said you just have to be right or wrong, and you have to hold on to the position for this period of time. You can't do anything once you get in. How's that? How about you buy here, and when the week closes, we see where your position is, and you take that loss or that gain. How would you like to do that? Well, that's what you would have to do if you didn't have the ability to manage risk. And so you have 10,000 times the improvement over that because you can manage the risk. So think of it that way if you want to stretch it to its extreme. And by the way, there are some European options that work that way where you cannot take them off, you put them on, and you're stuck with them until a certain period of time. That's it. It's in or out, and then you're done. You don't get to manage the trade. You don't get to move your profit target up or any of that stuff. They take it all away. These are all different financial instruments that you can use.
And what kind of a trade is that called?
What kind of a trade is it called, or do you
the instrument? I mean, the instrument. What is it?
There's European options that have expiration dates on them, and there's a certain kind of them that don't allow you to exit your position until the expiration date. American options do allow you to manage, change, flip them over, do whatever you want to do, but certain European options, at least up till somewhat recently, I haven't traded them. I have no interest in trading those, but that's the deal.
Haven't heard of those. Now, like, Americans aren't allowed to do the spread betting thing.
That's right. What was our
friend's name that used to be here on the – I haven't heard from her in a while.
Oh, Layla.
Layla, right. Yeah, she was into the spread betting, which is very popular in the UK. They don't pay any taxes on their gains and so that's why people in the UK would rather do that than be in a futures account, because if they're in a futures account, that is considered income. But what you're talking about is a completely different kind of an option play. Now –
It's an option, a European-style option.
Now, is that like the Nanex here? You know, the new thing they have here in the U.S.?
No, I think what you may be referring to is the options that expire on the day where you can trade. Out here. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And those options are also interesting, and you can take a look at them, but they have some drawbacks. It's an end-of-day thing. You can investigate into it, but it's not something that we're trading. We haven't taken advantage of it. But essentially what you're doing is you're looking and making, I hate to use the word, but a bet on whether the price is going to be above or below a certain strike price at the end of the day. That's what you're betting on, and as I understand it. And so at the end of the day, you have a gain or a loss on that position. And I think the gain or the loss may be fixed. I think it probably is. It's a fixed thing that you get this much, and that's all there is. And that's similar to many other options positions where you're selling options, as an example, and that's all you get. You get what they paid you for it, and you get that much if it expires. But less than expiration, you get less than that. So people, of course, if you're interested, go check it out. There's probably something worthwhile looking into just to understand it further. Options might seem a little scary at first. But they're really very understandable. It doesn't take a whole lot of time, but it might look a little daunting at first. So
there's Layla. Hey, Layla, how are you? She said those are called binaries.
Binary options. Thank you. Hi, Layla.
And Bert said that here in the U.S. we can't do what's called CFD. CFD. I'm certificate for deposit. No. What does that stand for, Bert? If you can type it in, if you can't come on live. All right. Okay.
Okay. While he's typing that in, we'll move on. Okay, let's go over to the Treasury bond market. On the program a few days ago, we forecast that June 11th would mark an important daily bottom. That simply means that as viewed from the daily chart, you would see a multi-day, you'd see the bottom on June 11th, and then you would see movement sideways, sideways to up. And so we've had 2 days of movement above the low that was made on June 11th, and that was down at 137.25 or so. Let me double check that, 137.25. And so we're long in this, and we're waiting for higher prices to occur. So I don't have anything new to add to that. We do have targets on the upside. This is all part of the institutional stuff, so I can't give every bit of the details out, but it's something we talked about a couple days ago. Maybe some of you are in this trade. We're going to continue to stick with it and see if we can manage it, manage the risk on the way up. So we're going to hold it certainly into tomorrow, which is Friday the 14th. And let's see, let's move past that. The euro, both the euro and the dollar have been very powerful and directional in their own movements. The euro going up, the dollar down. And I think that we certainly think that there's a very important setup occurring now that this larger extended run has happened. A person could have, you know, a lot of times in the markets you end up having to buy certain knowledge. You only know this thing because you got in and found out. Maybe you had to take a loss, and that means you bought certain knowledge. So there are many people who might have perhaps been short or on the wrong side of some portion of this, and this thing has really run, and they have purchased the knowledge that it was a bigger move than they expected, and now may be less inclined to do that again, but it, you know, to short it again. But the market has run to some important levels, and I mentioned before, and I'll just remind people as we get closer to the week of July 1st, first week of July 2013, which is a very important week and has a number of markets, in a number of markets, but in the euro has a very powerful setup for a trade. So as we get closer to this, we'll maybe talk a little more about it. And again, I always like to welcome people if they'd like to come and listen in to these meetings. They can do so by simply actually going to our website, and that's pagetrader.com, P-A-G-E-T-R-A-D-E-R, and then just on the front page, you can bring it up, and I believe maybe you can't get into that. Well, the best thing you can do maybe right now is to go give us a call, and we'll get you into these meetings, and you can check out some of these longer-term setups that are useful. And one of the interesting things I just want to say again is that the conversation that goes on and the way that these traders think might strike you. You might get something out of that, what they're thinking about doing, how they manage their risk, and so on. It might give you some new ideas. That would be a nice way of saying it. Okay, crude oil. As you know, we've been talking about crude oil a couple days, a little while back. We had forecast in our last Reflected Wave webinar, which I believe was on the 6th of June, that crude would continue to advance into the 7th, and it would then decline at least 1,500 per contract. We actually forecast that it would move further than that, that it would go down to 94.14 off of whatever high was made on June 7th. June 7th was a top, and the market did decline down to 94.04, giving us the $1,500 per contract type of move, and now they've bounced off of that. We're actually bullish longer term, so this trade had a little bit of extra uncomfortableness in it because our outlook is that the crude oil market's going to go much, much higher over the next several months. And so we took the concept that, well, there's going to be many pullbacks along the way. It's likely that because Reflected Wave was calling for a June 7th top, it's likely that we can trade this on the short side. But it is a little unnerving to know two pieces of information, one of them longer term and one of them shorter term. And, you know, the longer term one is going to show its hand at some point. The shorter term one, you might be able to trade right here. This is a good example of that. The market now is firming back up. Today, crude's up a little bit, but we are expecting higher prices. So you best go to your local car dealer and start checking out those electric cars, because gasoline prices are going to go higher. You're going to have, and if you're driving one of those big trucks, well, you know, the car isn't going to replace the truck, but for a lot of your commuting, it might make a whole lot of sense. Something else I wanted to mention just real briefly about an individual car, the Chevy Volt, which I happen to have one, and I've had it for about a year and a half now. Chevy Volts, all of them told, all of them in the United States have driven over, I think, 130 million miles on pure electric so far, not using the gas generator. And the car speaks to the, you know, they have the whole hookup where, you know, how everybody knows where you are, what you're doing, who you're talking to, especially now if you watch TV, you can see everybody knows. There's nothing you're doing that nobody knows about. They know who you call. They know who you talk to. They know how long you're on the phone. They know where you're driving to. They know what you do on the Internet. All of your traffic on the Internet is in a, you know, everything you've ever visited on the Internet, they know about. It's all recorded. So how are you doing? How do you like that? How do you like that? You know, and of course, well, we're just trying to keep everyone safe. And at some point, that's going to get a little old because it doesn't stop here. If this gets passed, they're going to push it even further and further. And many of the people they've recently caught has nothing to do with catching them this way. I want them to be able to listen in on communications, but I also want them to remember that we have Fourth Amendment rights that we're willing maybe to cede to a certain extent. Maybe you are, maybe you're not. But this is just this is just running roughshod. It's going to be. If it isn't now, it's going to be roughshod. They're going to run roughshod over everything, and they're just going to keep telling you, well, two things. Number one, you know, that's how we're keeping you safe. That's why you still are alive. And number two, if you're not doing anything wrong, you shouldn't have anything to worry about. You'll be hearing that. That's for sure. Anyway, crude oil is going higher. Somehow we got from that to there, but crude oil is going to go higher. We're looking for – this is a market where you could sell options. This is one of the things that we talk about. I happen to know several people who are selling options in crude to collect for premium as the market continues higher. So keep crude in your back of your mind. Watch how when crude goes up, how fast gasoline – sometimes gasoline will go up faster than the crude oil market will. And there's a function to that that's not really a scam. In many cases, there's a real practical reason for that, and it has to do with how the gas stations purchase the gas, which is made from crude, and the storage of it and the fees for it. And it's complicated. We've talked about it before, but don't just jump to the conclusion that it's a scam, because it isn't. There's a real thing going on there very often, not in every case, but in many of the cases. Okay, so let's move past crude. A couple other markets that are of interest today in particular. We talked about silver. We didn't do anything with silver. We're still waiting. Silver is just going sideways, very quiet. I'm suspicious of that market right now. I don't have that easy, good feeling that I want to do something with it. So we're going to let that go. We talked about the Australian dollar, which we have left alone, but we're forecasting a June monthly bottom in this market. So we're having a nice bounce here in mid-June in this market, and so there's maybe something to do with that a little later. I'm getting a little more time pass before. There's plenty of other markets. I don't have to push myself to try to turn that into something that works for me. It has to work for me and just work for me without me making a big concerted effort to make it look like it works for me. Okay, and then real quick, I know this is just the opposite of, not directly, but in many ways it's the opposite, which is the dollar of the euro. And the dollar has some interesting setups here. One that we messaged out today.
Are you, David, did you talk about rollover as far as the S&P? Did you roll over today on the different markets?
I'm actually talking June in that, but we have rolled over in the currency. So tomorrow all of our numbers in the S&P will be in September.
Okay.
Have you rolled yet or no?
No, not yet. We'll tomorrow when the live trading room opens, if volume in the new contracts has exceeded. And for us, currencies, even though you mentioned you had rolled, because there were, this morning there was still twice as much in the June contract in most of the currencies, we haven't rolled that either.
Mm-hmm.
So tomorrow, if we don't roll when the live trading room opens, I will roll before the radio show just so we'll have a consistency of numbers across the board.
Yeah. I would also just say that whether it's absolute or not, a lot of times the volume you see as the market is, you know, like right now in certain currencies the volume is higher, that's people unwinding positions and rolling out into new positions in the new month. It's not volume in this that's usable in the sense that it's going to be there tomorrow or anything. It's sort of it's like a flash of ending volume while people
right,
are undoing
but it,
positions
but
into
it,
new.
But it creates great intraday volatility for day trades.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. And in day trading, it's not necessary for you to hold overnight or anything, but that volume is going to go away relatively quickly
as you know.
So let's see. So with regard to the dollar, we do have a setup that's actually a one-day trade in the dollar, and this setup I think is going to confirm. And I can't go into details right now, but it's a nice one that we have for the dollar. We've had a big move down in the dollar. But I would be kind enough to tell you that they've already hit the price, which is $80.70. That is actually today's low is 80.71. 80.70 is the level that we like. So I'll give you that, and maybe you can work with that. And we'll talk a little bit more about this tomorrow. And all of this is available, again, in these institutional meetings. The dollar is often opposes, in most cases, opposes what the euro is doing, but not exactly in the same way. Let's see. It sounds like a dog hunt is about to begin.
Yep. Okay. To the hounds.
To the hounds. Okay. Move past this. Cocoa had a very, very big down day today. We did not catch any of this, but cocoa is down substantially, almost a full dollar, and it's inching in on it. So that's interesting. We'll continue beyond that. We're keeping an eye on copper. The copper market, we think, is very close to a rally here, and we may re-enter in copper soon. This is a setup that we've talked about over the last couple of days. We were long in copper, and I believe we had a move up to 324 or so, and then we exited copper today and want to reposition ourselves in copper. So we're looking to take another position in copper on the long side. So keep an eye on copper. Maybe your own work or Dwayne's or Michael's will get you into that, but we're looking for that right now. And ideally, we'd like to see a daily close above 318.95. We're trading right now at 318.75, a little bit below that. And so we'll see how that goes. The trade that we really did well on, that was just a very easy setup that we gave out, I believe, on the radio as well, but this was originally given out in the institutional meeting, was back on June 11th. And the trade was, if the market touches 1549, just sell it short for a decline down to 1527 or lower into June 14th. Now, June 14th is tomorrow, so today is the one day early. So from 1549 to 1527, If a person did that, that's a pretty nice, decent move. That's a 22-cent move, same as the S&P's 1,100 per contract. But the market did continue substantially lower, and we got out of the aggressives, people who held beyond that, got out at 1,511 today. So pretty nice swing there. And this is one of the reasons why we always are saying how tradable the soybean market is. It's much, much more volatile than the S&P is on any day. So I do have something coming up on this market as well, and this is another one that you might want to check out before too long. If you have an interest, come to the meetings, because we're going to talk about this setup, this very specific setup that is happening in the soybean market tomorrow. So you can give us a call. We'll put you in there. And then finally, Duane, keeping an eye on Apple. You know, several weeks back we had the short position and so on, and we're long out of that now, and we're just waiting to see what the next move is here for Apple. It's probably not a bad idea. If a person wanted to, he could continue to sell calls above the weekly top that we talked about. There was a forecast for a weekly high several weeks back, and that was the week of May 6th. The market did turn down, and this is about the fifth week from there. And I think a person selling calls above 465, 470, whatever they're worth, I wouldn't mind selling them. I really wouldn't. We're out of it. But I'm just saying, keep an eye on that. That's something. Oh, and one other thing about Apple I wanted to mention is, and I believe, give me just a moment here. We do have some bigger, I suppose we could say it's a volatility cycle coming in August for Apple. A volatility cycle is a cycle that is a reversal, but it has an additional cycle that coincides with it that has to do with volatility. So actually two things are occurring at the same time, and that is, we've demonstrated that on the program before, where there's these very fast, sharp, explosive moves, and this particular thing is occurring for Apple in the month of August, and so we're going to be watching for that. Up until then, I'm not sure if we're going to have anything else to do with it at this point. And then I think we have to talk a little bit about soda. And I think, I don't know if Robin is still with us or not.
Yes.
But soda,
I have it on my list here.
Soda made a nice swing up, and then now they're having a pretty good reaction on the downside. Do you want to add something to that?
Well, they've had a couple days down, and today it looks like they're bouncing off the $69 mark. So they went as high as somewhere around close to 78, I believe, for their high, and that was on Monday. And then they had a real pullback during that time. But now it looks like maybe we're going to start back up again from and bouncing off that 69. There was some really, really good press that they got from Motley Fools. Was SodaStream a fad? And their belief is that it's not, and it's doing really well because the numbers are so good. And then they talked a little bit about, would Coke or Pepsi try to buy them out? And most likely not. And so therefore they felt that, and then there was a broker who put it up to $100 high.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I think this was the pullback after, quite a move.
So you're saying an analyst has come out with a new price target of $100?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's usually a good way to wound the beast.
Yeah, all you have to do is say, here's where it's going, and it no longer goes there.
It's got a nice little move today of 73 cents. I mean, not big, like it was doing, but, 1%. Is a nice little move, and I think the downside is over, but we'll see. To give it one more day from here, but it looks like 69 was the bouncing off point.
Okay. One thing that may be useful is that June 14th for soda is a reflected wave bottom. It's likely daily. It's likely it came one day early today. It's likely. So I would agree with you. I'm in complete agreement that pullback is likely very close to over. And this would be a stock, this would be a trade if somebody wanted to, sort of a multi-day kind of a trade for a movement up here. So it has been really good, and I do want to say again that this is a stock that you had been watching, that you felt very strongly that was going to go have a good run. And, by golly, they've had a really good run.
By golly, they have.
So you
John says he saw an ad where Soda says their product is now in 15,000 stores.
Yeah. They have a very small piece in the U.S. market. It's like not even 10%. It's tiny, tiny,
John,
tiny. They have a huge market to go.
John, what type of stores are those? Are those like IKEAs? Because when we're talking about this machine and this technology, we're talking about a machine that a person buys to take home and put in their kitchen, correct? Or in their bar in their house. Correct, Robin?
What? Yeah, so? And so what's the question? I don't understand the question.
My question, he said that the soda ad said that the product was now available in 15,000 stores. I'm trying to figure out
I'm going to guess things like Bed Bath & Beyond. I'm going to say they're in Costco, but I don't know. I think they may have broken into Costco, but I'm not sure. You know, because I know the Keurig is in there. The coffee machine is in Costco. When I was in there the other day, I could have swore I saw it, but I could be wrong. But if that's the case, usually they hit a retail section like a Bed Bath Beyond first, and then they hit the smaller retails like the Target and Costco and the discount wholesalers they try to get into next.
There you go. Where to buy SodaStream?
Got a list?
Costco,
oh,
Bed Bath
See,
Beyond,
it is in
Fred
Costco.
Meyer. Target,
see,
Walmart.
So they're hitting some. This is really good because they've got high end like Williams and Sonoma, and they've got the low end down to a Target and a Walmart. So that's huge. That's really big because you're going to get the volume from those kind of distributors. So that's
Staples.
Fabulous.
You also Kohl's. Get the office crowd as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, and Staples too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, they've done a good job then. You're going to see this thing pop with this kind of distribution. That's great. That's huge. Huge, huge, huge. Next will be next layer. Do you know what the next layer is beyond that? That picture?
What?
You can bring it back.
Oh, I can.
No? Oh, sorry.
No, I will. I'll bring it right back. Go
next
ahead.
Next picture
just tell me.
Would be QVC and HSN for distribution. So they start always at the retail, then they go to the wholesale, the Costco, the Costco.
What's the price point on this thing?
I don't know.
Retail.
I'm not sure. I'd have to look, but. Next layer would be QVC's, HSN, and the Home Shopping Networks would be next. So they're doing a fabulous job of distribution. Whoever's selling the product, they're doing really great. There you go, everything from 79 to 99.
80 bucks for the starter kit.
Oh, they are on HSN already. Look at that. See that? Wow.
Fountain.
That's huge. See, that's huge. They have to cut a little bit for HSN. But they've
Here's
got
the
Macy's
product.
And Staples the same.
This is where they really stand to make their money. The equipment, I don't know how much profit margin they have in the equipment, but this is probably close to 100% profit. Because anyone who's
absolutely.
Ever been in fast food or in restaurant business, you know that soda is one of your high profit margin products. It costs you pennies for a beverage that you sell for, you know, a large for $2.50 now. And so $5 for this.
So how many sodas does that get you for the $5? Does it say underneath if you scroll down a little bit?
Yeah, probably.
I'm just curious how many add 50. I mean, how can you beat that? How can you beat that if you're a soda drinker?
Servings. Now I wonder what their serving size is. It says 12 liters.
12 liters? That's huge. I mean, that's huge. It's like a no brainer.
And the thing that, 12 liters of soda, up to 33 cans.
That's
so
huge.
So 50 servings, 33 cans.
You can't get that in a supermarket in a canned soda.
And the thing that the geeks were fascinated by was that they could control the amount of carbonation. Because apparently some of the guys that stay up and code all night, along with extra caffeine, they like to have additional carbonation. I don't know why. It would make me feel bloated, I think. I don't know. So, but it's got an attractive package, eye-catching.
Yep. I think I'm going to add when we're building the store out on the website, and I'm going to add the cartridges in my store.
Okay, let's see what some of the reviews are. Not good. What's not so great? Terrible aftertaste. Chose this cola syrup because it was less expensive and more concentrated. I wish I would have read the ingredients. It has sucralose. I'm assuming that's the reason for the aftertaste. Maybe they're not all sucralose. Maybe some.
Yeah.
My son drinks Coke, so we got the Coke-flavored syrup. However, he says it doesn't taste like Coke. I now have syrup we can't use. There's got to be some good reviews in here. Come on. What's great about it, easy to use, very useful, comes in handy to have around. Not any cheaper than buying a 12-pack of cans on sale. No, it looked cheaper to me.
Well, they may be buying a store brand, and sometimes the store brands, you know, will do an orange soda, and it'll be XYZ, you know, and it's cheap. So that might
This is a good review here. A lot of people complaining about the artificial. But, see, I don't like diet soda. To me, all diet sodas taste.
Yeah, all have the aftertaste.
It's like, I don't know, like I assume antifreeze would taste like or something. I don't know.
You know, it's not the best stuff for your body. No,
antifreeze is much better.
Well,
it really is.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a proponent for soda drinking. I just look at this from purely a trading perspective, so please don't get the impression that I'm sitting here with the soda stream in my house, because that is not the case. I don't do soda, period. So
here's a person who says no high fructose corn syrup. That's what they like about it. 1 liter servings are easy to drink at one sitting.
Yikes.
Hopefully that's for your whole family.
Yikes.
I credit SodaStream with helping me lose weight. I would drink 1 to 2 liters of Coke or Pepsi a day, but I found out about their corn syrup content. Talk to your endocrinologist about that. It's delicious, and mixing the drinks yourself is kind of fun. They have a lot of flavors. So there's mixed reactions, about 50-50, I guess.
Well, unfortunately, the masses do like to drink soda and in large quantities. And so, you know, I'm one of those, you know, what are the people buying? What are they, why are they buying it? And so that's why soda for me, and when they finally made the investment, because it's a huge investment to advertise on Super Bowl, I mean, a huge, huge investment. When they did that, I said, this company's for real. You know, this company is for real. And that's when we started watching it, you know, March, and that's when we started looking at it for Super Bowl. And it's had a nice little run. Oh, you want to talk about my Zynga?
Well, I just brought it up
just,
to have a look there.
It's just down to the 280. Yeah, it's not doing well. But I'm in. I'm in at night. I'm in at something like 90, I think, 290. So
with every dip, you know, unless there's something fundamental about this company that I'm not aware of, it looks like a pretty good buying opportunity.
Yeah, I just don't know. I just I can't put my finger on this one. I feel like something's up, but I don't know what it is. You know what I mean? I got a sense that something is cooking, and I just don't know. Now, again, we had that article about their president, and you know, their president has started 4 companies already, and that he should really step down and let somebody else take over. And his typical style is to sell off his companies and do that. So I think this is a buyout opportunity for somebody, and get this guy out of there if he's not focusing on it and doing what he needs to do to build the business. So it's the Mark Pincus. P-I-N-C-U-S thing that's cooking there. So we'll have to see what's going to happen. We'll have to see what's going to happen. Again, the gaming thing is big.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's huge.
It's big.
And one of the listeners, Davis, says that he has a soda stream. He says, we have one. I don't really like the taste.
Uh-huh.
He says, I used to hate diet drinks. Now I like Diet Pepsi. But and Ed says, if you go into the kidney ward of a hospital, they do not allow diet sodas in vending machines for a reason.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Yep. I mean, you know, just from a health perspective, we got something going on across the country. You know, we have something going on with obesity, and we've got something going on with all sorts of things. But these chemicals that they put into these
diabetes.
Foods and huge, huge diabetes is just enormous. Now, I have to tell you, I wasn't a soda drinker. I am a diabetic, and I have managed through diet to totally come off one medication, so it's possible. But if you don't change your diet, forget it. I mean, you're sunk, and you're just going to keep getting worse and worse. And we're at epidemic proportions right now, and you need to watch it. I mean, I'm barely microwaving any food to this day now, because that changes the molecular structure of the food. So, you know, I'm trying to just cook fresh and cook and eat fresh and eat regular stuff that my mom used to make when I was little. And all of a sudden, I'm reversing everything that's happened to me. So just as a FYI, that's, you know, that's a thing to think about.
All right.
This $249 laptop from Google, it's a Samsung 11.6-inch Chromebook, 2 gigs of memory. Is there anybody in the audience that has a Chromebook? Yeah. It does. You don't store any files. It doesn't really have a hard drive. It is built simply for accessing the Internet, with Google's philosophy being that all of the software programs that you need to use, such as your word processing, your spreadsheets, everything is in the cloud. You can use Google Docs and all of that. And then, of course, you store your files in the cloud. So you don't need any of that stuff junking up your computer anymore. You just want a sleek little fast machine that cruises the net. But the reviews that I've read, 88% of reviewers would recommend this product to a friend. It's fast and easy to use. Okay. All right. I'm just curious. I'm not looking to buy one. I was just curious. All right. So, David, we're done. Okay, guys, we did break out here above 1626. So if you're in that tweet, you got triggered in. The swing high so far is 1628.5. So if you triggered at 26, 2.5 points in the trade so far. Remember, our target is up here at 1633. That's our weekly zone. If you're trading multiple positions, you know, take something off, lock some in, start working that stop. Once we cross 29, get your stop to break even plus a tick if you're going to run it all the way up to the zone. And David, thanks so much. Anything else you want to add before
we
go?
You got quotes? Actually,
Let me see a little bit.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say a couple other little markets that we were going to cover just a moment ago.
Let's do it.
Which
sure.
is, this is our first trade ever in the Mexican peso.
Oh, yeah.
Which we took. And they were, you know, long side, weekly reflected wave bottom. We needed to see them close above 76.95. They did. That was buying territory. Well, we're up right now at 78.60. So we've had a very powerful multi-thousand dollar per contract move so far. And this is, I believe, this is just the beginning of a very good tradable multi-week advance. It's been peculiar in a certain sense and how they did it, but the market is here to test every participant. And that's what it does. It's not here to do that, but that's what it does. And so it tested us. Let me just say it that way. It tested us. And so now we're on the positive side of it in a very good way, and we're hoping to see continued movement. And we believe that, obviously, they're going to close above 76.95, and then we will see possibly some kind of pullback, but we'll still see higher prices in the coming weeks here for Mexican peso.
Okay,
so we talked about this on the program.
Yeah, our entry on this was 776. Consider buying 776 limit. If filled, we'll update targets and stops, so we'll get something out there in regards to what kind of – I'll have to go look at it again. So 776.
Is that for an overnight deal?
Yeah, we put this out a couple days ago. Let me see when that went out, what time. Peso, that went out Tuesday at 7:27 p.m., and I'm going to guess, I think that's either my, anyway, it was Tuesday night. So Tuesday night. Today is Thursday. Why don't I switch this thing to a, let me get out of this 10 tick and go to an hourly. Okay, here we go. All right, so today is June the 13th. Why am I, let's go 6MM3.
Anyway, it's been a very powerful update today.
Yeah, June 13th. Okay, so I want to get back. So today's Thursday, Wednesday, Tuesday. Okay. So, yeah, this was the area right here that we were looking to, 776. Okay, we talked about this on the show the other day, is that we had a tweet out to consider getting in at 776 limit on a pullback. It never pulled all the way back to 776. This swing low that we were working against here only got down to 777. So we missed that by, I guess, like a point and a quarter, or pip and a quarter, or whatever, however you call that. But we did talk about taking a momentum breakout trade. So we never hit our trigger, and then it came back. So what price did you guys get in at, David? Dave?
76.95. I'm sorry, 76.95.
Okay, so you got in. And what day did you?
76.95.
What day was yours, a multi-day as well?
Well, this is a multi-week. This is multi-week. This goes all the way back to the week of May 27th.
Okay, so what day did you guys get triggered into yours?
Let me bring up our thing here, and I'll tell you. Just give me a minute. But we've been in it for this has been a thing we've talked about on your program for the last couple of weeks, because the decline in the peso has been dramatic. And let me take a look here where we are. Okay, the next important weekly bottom for the June. June 76.95, note of preferred downside completion level. Okay, so our range was from 76.95 to 77.15 to trigger new long entry. One of the reasons we were interested in this is a broader picture thing for reflected wave, which is our turning point method, is that the market had exceeded, it was on the far side, it was plus 1 week. In other words, it's plus or minus 1 unit of time, and they were already at the 1 week late last week. Now, that's why it was interesting to us, and the market all of the currencies are moving big right now, and this is our first foray into this. So we're going to see. We'll see how this thing plays out. But right now, as it sits, we're sitting at a number that after I'm through on the program here, we're going to book something here at this point, because the market has had a decent move up, and it is a good idea to book at levels that take something off at levels that might normally produce some resistance or something. So I have to look at it. But as we were going through this, today, as we've been talking, they've had a pretty good advance here. So
how bad was the drawdown on that?
They spiked all the way down to 76.22.
22. Okay.
So,
wouldn't you call that 762?
Yes. That's right. 760.
Yeah.
We're looking at so many different markets. We go back and forth. Wherever the decimal point correctly goes.
Yeah, and what that means, guys, is if you were to go to Mexico right now to a cambia, one of the money changers, and you hand them a dollar, they would hand you back 7.6 pesos, but they've got to keep something for their services, so you might get, I don't know, 7 pesos to the dollar. So basically, that's what that means.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, it's an interesting market. Somebody out in the Twitterverse out there, they sent me a tweet. They go, okay, what's the punchline? Like, there's no punchline. We just talked about it on the radio, and it looks like it's got, you know, volume and volatility, and those are the things that make a market. So We just threw out a trade idea.
Yeah, this is a new thing for us. I mean, we have not traded in the Mexican peso before. This is a customer of ours. This is a professional trader, had brought it up. And I had never even thought of the Mexican peso in terms of currencies. I've never looked at it before, never thought about it. And when he brought it up, I almost had the same response. Mm-hmm. The Mexican peso? You got to be kidding me. You know, is that even a real thing? I thought that was something less mythological.
Well, after they got devalued back in the 80s, I believe it was, it then went on to become one of the most stable currencies in the world. But mm-hmm. what happened is so many Americans had retired to Mexico, and they made the mistake of converting their life savings, their retirement funds, into pesos. And when that thing got devalued and it got hit, it was really bad.
Yeah.
Many of them had to leave Mexico, had to leave retirement, had to come back to America, and had to get jobs. They're completely wiped out. So a huge lesson learned there for coming generations is that when you save up your money, your nest egg, and you go to retire, wherever that is, you don't put all your money in one currency, in one bank, and you've got to recognize the risk that's there and then do whatever you can to mitigate the risk. So spread it around a little bit.
And other than that, Dwayne, other than that particular setup, I am watching the Canadian dollar. We've talked about that. I don't have anything for that today. I am watching sugar, a market that I have not put out a trade on in a long time. Many other markets, but those are the main ones that we're watching. And S&P is continuing to advance here. And today, this has been a really powerful reversal on the daily chart for S&P. And this sets up what we talked about earlier. We'd like to see them go higher because we have a setup for the June 17th that we talked about. And we'll talk more about that.
Okay, guys, I encourage you on this trade, get your stops to a break even plus a tick here. Or else just take it. I mean, there's three points right there. That's a nice day's work. Okay,
that's a nice trade. Okay, quotes for the day. First thing every morning before you rise, say out loud, "I believe" three times. Ovid, I don't know who that is. "To be a champ, you have to believe in yourself when nobody else will." Sugar Ray Robinson. "If you think you can. And if you think you can't, you're right." Mary Kay Ash.
I think Mary Kay pilfered that off somebody.
She could have. It sounds familiar.
It does. I think that's like a Samuel Clemens or...
I don't know.
What's the other
that's
guy?
That's what's coming up in my book. So.
Yeah, no. I got you. The pink Cadillacs. Do they still do those? Does the Mary Kay people still
I don't know. I haven't seen... Well, we see stuff in Vegas. It could be anything. It's pink.
Do you remember that, David, when the Mary Kay, Robin, the sales reps all drove the pink caddy?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. That was in the 80s, Dwayne.
Yeah.
I'm still in the 80s.
Well, thank you for having me today. Please remember Coach's Corner tomorrow. It's a secret topic. I'm not telling anybody. You just all have to show up because it's going to be fabulous. At 12 o'clock Pacific time, 3 o'clock Eastern time. And we'll see you there.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Okay, guys, have a great afternoon. I'll see you both
tomorrow. See you guys later.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I didn't notice what time it was. All I know is that I fell in love with you. And if all my dreams come true, I'll be spending time with you. Every day's a new day in love with you. With each day comes a new way.
It's like some kind of a macabre ice cream truck on drugs or something. I don't... I keep saying I'm going to fix it, but it's sort of like that thing you slow down for as you're driving past because you just can't hardly believe it. But I am going to fix it. I really am. Being broken has lost its novel nature. It's no longer novel. Okay, let me look in the chat box and see what we got. Anything? Guys, I'll answer any questions that you have. You have to watch that the peso will not go to sleep in the afternoon. Gary, you said that out loud. Gary's talking about the peso taking a siesta. That's pretty funny. All right. Now, guys, the trade that we had here in the show, during the show, I gave you the long side of it, the short side of it. This is an example of what Mark teaches in his book. You don't have to know what's going to happen next to make money in the market. Okay? When I send out, like the tweet that I sent out today for this particular move, I want you to look at exactly how it's worded. Let me go find the chart. Where'd that thing go? Here we go. I guess we can look at it on here. That'll be fine. Consider being long above 1626 or short below 1617, whichever presents first. Okay. And that seems simple enough, but also it sounds like somebody that doesn't know what's going to happen next. Guess what? I didn't know. I could have guessed, could have flipped the coin, could have done all kinds of things, but it's easier to just admit, I don't know. So it can only do one of two things, right? It's sitting here when we open the show, sitting right in the zone. It can only do one of two things. It's either going to move higher and try to get to this zone, or it's going to move lower and try to get to this zone. We could go sideways, all right, but only for a while. Eventually, it's going to try to move up, or it's going to try to move lower, okay? Well, but which one's it going to do? I don't know. But if it tries to move higher, I can get long above 26, and if it tries to move lower, I can get short below 17. This way, no matter what it tries to do, I have a trade. Okay, well, yeah, but what if it doesn't get to that zone? I don't care. From 26 to the swing high that we just put in at 29.5, that's a 3.5-point move that the market made available. I don't want anybody to misunderstand that. Our tweet, our indicators, our trade setup, none of that made this happen. Okay, we're just shining, you know, like a flashlight into the corner, into the darkness, just here. Have a look. A guiding light, if you will. We don't make any of this happen. All we do is assess the market and go, okay, given the current status, what can happen? Well, this could happen or this could happen. Okay, well, if this happens, how are you going to play it? All right, and if this happens, how are you going to play it? Okay, now all you got to do is way back and see which one happens. Even if buyers fail to run this thing up to the zone, just the fact that they tried to run it up, just the fact that they made an attempt to run it up, is sufficient for you to be able to get your points for the day. Okay. Now, one thing that we do also know is that important prices, important areas, are almost always tested. So however far they manage to run this thing, now that they've committed themselves, put their foot down, and are taking it north, if they fall short, or even if they go up here and hit it, okay, what's the chance, or what's the high probability, that price could come back, test this 26 area, possibly buyers come in early even, and then they try to run it again? It's a very high probability. Very high probability. Okay. Now let's back up in time just a little bit. This morning, as price was coming down, we sent out a tweet that said, "Well, you know, right here, we've waited 11 hours for this trade to set up. Patience." Well, actually, we'll go back to last night. Let's go back even further. Last night I said 1608 slash, well, let's go back even further. We'll go to, here's a chart of last night's tweet as promised. Okay. Now that would be the tweet before this one, where we were looking to get short below 31. Okay? All right. So let's get that out of the way. Then we said the weekly trading zone at 1608/1609 has been broken. Our final weekly zone is way down there. Way. Tune in tomorrow and take a look. Okay? That went out 16 hours ago. Based on the recent turn of events, look for a retracement back to the zone at 1608/1609. And then be short below 1605. Okay, so that's very specific instructions. Wait for a retracement back to 1608/1609 and then consider being short below 1605. So then the next tweet said, we've waited 11 hours for this trade to set up. Patience. So let's look at that. This is what it looked like this morning. This morning, as the markets were getting ready to open, price had broken. And then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 hours later, 11 or 12, I may have miscounted. You get the point. Price finally pulled back to the zone. Now, that's the very thing we talked about. Right here, we said weekly trading zone at 1608, 1609 has been broken. Our final weekly zone is way down there. Look for a retracement back to the zone at 0809. And then consider being short below 1605. So once price pulled back up to the zone here, that's this pullback right here where I've got the circle on the chart. See that? See that? What we were looking for was for price, it's just like the tweet we just had. Okay? Once price pulled back to the zone, at 1608, and again, 11-hour wait. Okay, we're almost, are we there yet, Dad? We're almost there. Now we need price to close back below 1605 to trigger us in for a move down to this swing low and then down to our final weekly trading zone below us, which being a Thursday and price moving in the other direction, just put it on the chart, 1578. 1579. Okay. 78, 79. Okay. All right. So what didn't happen? Well, everything was going perfectly. It pulled back to the zone. That's what we were waiting for. So then we threw down the gauntlet and said, all right, get short as the market moves below 1605. Well, the market never moved below 1605, so that trade just never got triggered in after waiting 11 hours. Now, here's the mistake that sometimes traders will make. You know, number one, it's hard to exercise 11 hours of patience. And then when it doesn't do what you had anticipated it to do, you sometimes tend to think emotionally or to trade emotionally, and that's the thing you want to stay away from. So price moved up, and as it pulled up into this zone at 1619/1620, price was sitting here at the beginning of the show. We then said, okay, this didn't happen. This happened. And so that led us to the final tweet that we just sent out, which said, consider being long above 26 or short below 17, whichever presents first. Okay. And so that's this line 26, this line 17. Had no clue what was going to happen next. We were sitting inside of the zone when I tweeted that out. Okay. We've now hit a swing high of 29.5 as we attempt to get to the zone. See, the market always has its sights set on something. It's trying to go somewhere, break a high, break a low. It's just the nature of the market. It's driven to do that. It's what makes a market. So all we're trying to do with our zones is to figure out the logical spots along the way. And as you can see here, 33.34 was a logical spot. And these zones do go out to the partners before the market opens every Monday. See, the price came down, it pulled back up to the zone. Tried to go down, it pulled back up to the zone. Here, it pushed through the zone It did the deal. It did that. And it did that. And then it did that. There's your trade right there. Okay. But we didn't tweet that one. That's just one that was there. I can't tweet every move the market makes. Now, price may be pulling back even in this hour to test 26. So it's gone up and given us a run to 29.5. Let's look at it in a smaller time frame. Let's go down to the 4-tick range. Okay. 16.26. Now, price could very easily, still in the same hour, it's already gone from 26 to 29.5. And it's not yet even given out the traditional slingshot entry. The traditional slingshot entry is yet to come. We've got bullish divergence. The blue cycle is at the top. The green line is heading down here. That's how we want it. We did have our bullish cross. Remember this little spot, as I explained yesterday, this is where possession changes down on the field. Buyers took control of the ball right here, right where that little cross right there. Buyers took possession of the ball and they ran it up the field. They ran it up from 1623 all the way up to 1629. Okay. We only were involved in the final, you know, little leg of that journey. In other words, they worked really hard to prove to us they were serious about taking it up the field. And so at 26, we said, you know, I'm convinced. I'll go along for the ride. Now look what's happening. It's coming back. Okay, the traditional or the typical 4-tick range setup, the one that Michael shows you every day when he's doing the recap, and the one that you guys see every morning in the live trading room. Okay, every piece of criteria has been fulfilled. With the exception of the pullback to the BBC. Now, if it pulls back and touches the BBC right here, that's the bull bear cross line, okay, if it touches that and the cycle line stays blue, we don't need it to close above the trend line. We can just buy an up close that meets all the criteria for the slingshot trade. If, as this thing is pulling back, if this line turns red, even if it only flashes red for a couple candles, it won't flash, it'll turn. If it turns red for even one candle, okay, then we do need a close above the trend line. Okay, so here we're just waiting for the pullback. Well, what happens if it turned around and just started running higher right now without pulling all the way back? Then we could also get long on a close above the trend line without it ever even hitting the BBC. Okay. Well, what if it spikes way down below and tests that 1626 area? Well, there you go. It very well could do that because that's something that we see a lot that we watch for. Important prices, important areas almost always get tested. And so when something gets tested, will they pass or not? Will they succeed or fail? It doesn't matter. The fact that they attempt the test is usually a couple points in a good test. If you've got good, healthy markets where there's volatility and participation, a failed attempt by buyers or sellers, if the buyers or sellers fail in their attempt to achieve whatever goal they're working towards, if they fail, that can very easily be your success. Their failure becomes your success. Not because you're trying to, you know, call what's going to happen before it happens. You're simply participating in what is happening. Okay? All right, let's see if there's anything in the chat box. Do I have to be a member to get your tweets? Well, it's a – no. Go to twitter.com/CFRN. There's a couple years of tweets out there, guys. You're welcome to wade through them and see, you know. At some point, I know I've said this for a while, but at some point, I probably won't just continue to give them away. But every time the guys in the front office, the back office, and the boardroom start pressuring me not to, I somehow worm my way out of it. So for now, you can just follow us, twitter.com/CFRN. Okay. It really helps to have the charts with the tweets again. Thanks. You're welcome, Karen. How did you come up with the 1626 as the trigger? Okay, that's a great question. By the time I put this tweet on, what was the exact time? Let me go take a look at that. Let me refresh this window. It says 1 hour ago. Okay. Let me get these little arrows out of the way. As I recall, when I put that tweet out, this red candle was actually a full-bodied red candle. It was bearing down, pressing in, looking to get back to 1620. Okay. To use your imagination, remember at one point in the life of this candle, it was a angry red candle trying to get back to the zone. Okay. Well, didn't make it. But when price was down here, price was there. That's when I put the tweet out, as it said there on the thing an hour ago, roughly. All I did was look at the previous swing high, which was 2475. I tacked on a point and a quarter, and that's how I came up with 26. It's that scientific, that mysterious. Telling you guys, the only secret to the markets, there is no secret. Okay. I just wanted to give it enough of a cushion above this, okay, because sometimes you get what are called failed breakouts. In other words, it might break that high by a couple ticks and then just fail. Okay, I don't want their failure to also be my failure. If they're going to fail, I want to be able to turn their failure into my success. So I gave it a point and a quarter. And as they took out 26, they had enough of a head of steam as they broke through 26. It took us to 29 and a quarter. Okay, and so far off of that 29, look where we are. We've come right back to the BBC, and this is dynamic resistance. The red dots, okay. Resistance, support, resistance. Anytime you have broken dynamic resistance or support and you're able to trade with that or against that, that makes for a really nice trade. In other words, see how dynamic resistance here turned the market down and how dynamic support market turned back up, okay? So here, price should have turned back down, but it didn't. It broke through it. So now what it's doing is it's doing this. It's going like that, and then it's doing that, and now all we're waiting to see is if it's going to do that. Cycle is still blue. We pull back. Well, we came within one tick, it looks like, of touching the BBC. Now, on a touch of the BBC, as long as the cycle stays blue, all we need is an up close on one of these candles to get long. If the cycle turns red, see how it's starting to flatten out? It's going to go red here in a minute if this thing doesn't get out of this little decline. If it goes red, then we need a close above the trend line. If it stays blue, it's simply an up close. The thing is it didn't actually touch. I think that's got to be as close as I've ever seen it without. Let's blow it up a little bit. We might have to count that as a touch. Let's see. No, the swing low was 1627. There's a touch right there. That was a touch, okay? So you can just get along this right here, right now. Oh, there comes the echo. Let me mute that. Okay. Okay, Michael, I'll check those messages in just a minute. Or is there something that needed my attention right now? Let me scroll through there.
No, it's all good. I'm just typing in information there for you. Take a look when you get a chance. It's no big deal.
Okay.
No big deal.
All right, great. Okay, Michael, we just had a nice tweet during the show.
Excellent.
I didn't know what was going to happen, so I just...
What?
Yeah, what? I didn't. I admitted it. I did say, though, if we get above 1626, consider being long, or if we get below 1617, consider being short, whichever presents first. Mm-hmm. So far we got up to 29.5. And nice. We were just watching, so 3.5. So what we're watching now is we just had a beautiful pullback here. See, we got that 3.5 point move, and we didn't even have a slingshot trade set up yet. We just now got the slingshot set up. Now, see, guys, it did turn red right here. Remember I told you the way it was flattening out, it was getting ready to go red? So if you want to wait until you get a close above the trend line, you can. Michael, what's your call on this? Would you have gotten long on this close here?
No. Nope.
You would be
the
waiting
close,
for this
the
one?
Close up above, yep.
Okay.
Confirmation.
There you go, guys. From the maestro himself.
There it is. Right there.
There it is. Oop, there it is.
There it is. 28.5, 28.75 right there.
So let's peek back over here. Okay, so I explained to you how I got the 26 and how I got the 17. I went 2 points below the zone and below the swing low. And remember, I showed you two different entries that you could actually have if you were taking the trade in a southerly direction. You could just give it a couple points cushion at 17, or you could look at the swing low of this candle and get a couple ticks right below that. Because if you got in here at 1614, you still got 5 points down to the zone. So there's plenty of room to run. So you don't have to worry about, you know, am I going to get missed or left behind? I mean, because of the way this set up, there was just plenty of room to run. So you could have waited down here. If you didn't like that 17, you could have got in down here at 14. Now, yeah, that's 3 points difference. I mean, that's a whole day's pay right there. But that's the beauty of you understanding what the market is capable of doing, okay, embracing the possibilities, and saying, okay, if it does this, then this is how I'll behave, and if it does that, that's how I'll behave. Then having a set of rules and criteria that you adhere to, and that will help you to not only enter the trade, but manage the trade, and then exit the trade. Okay? Because like on this first run up, if you'd have grabbed something, anything, whatever that might be for you, you had an opportunity right here to trade it again, or to trade it for the first time if you didn't take anything out of it the first time. Okay, on your fourth tick, you had a resistance near that 1626. Okay, Karen, I answered your question about the trigger. Okay, the next question. On your fourth tick, you had resistance near the 1626. Oh, the dynamic resistance we were talking about? Yes, that's what I was talking about. You probably had already typed that in. See, when we broke above that dynamic resistance and pulled back to it, those make some very nice high probability trades. Remember, I said price did that, and then it did that, and now it's in the process of doing that. Okay? Now, from the dynamic resistance was at 1627 and a quarter. So far, the swing high is 2875. So from here to here is a point and a half so far. Now, you go, well, the market kind of looks like it's struggling. It is. Okay? There's an obstacle to the trade. It's called the CFMA1. Okay? Backbone of the indicator set right there. It's got to close above that. Once it gets above that, it has another obstacle. That swing high. So, do we have a long setup? Yes. Are there two obstacles preventing this from going up to the zone? Yes. Is that unusual? No. Almost every trade is going to have obstacles that the market has created itself as it moves from zone to zone. Only when you're breaking out to fresh new highs or lows that haven't been touched in a very long time, only then will you have no obstacle to the trade. But often you'll have a long way to run before there is an obvious obstacle. Those are the opportunities that can really work well in your favor. Okay. Okay, we just got to close above the CFMA1, so that takes care of obstacle number one. Now we've got to deal with obstacle number two. And our weekly zone is up here at 33.34. Quite a ways to run, so can you see that if we break above this swing high, which is an obstacle the market itself put in our path? The market ran up there, put an obstacle in our path, and then did this. Now look what we did. We just closed above that swing high. Now, what do we have in our way between us and the zone? Nothing. Nothing. Let's go look at it on the hourly. Look left. Look left. Nothing. The closest thing that resembles even an obstacle would be this area right here at 31 that I tweeted out to go short the other day, which was based off the swing low of this candle right here. So this should have no problem getting to at least 31. There's just nothing in the way. If you learn to look for those opportunities and trade those opportunities, that right there, by rather than just, you know, having to, you know, look for those opportunities, look for them. Because they're there. Now, every time you sit down at the computer, there's not necessarily going to be one there. So you may have to wait. You may have to be patient. You may have to look. Now, with that said, there is another approach that you see every morning in the live trading room. And that's where you sit down during the first 2 hours the market is open, and you know there's going to be volatility. There's going to be volume. There's going to be boom, boom, boom. And so you just take the setups as they come. Okay? Boom, boom, boom. Until you reach your goal for the day, whatever that is. Point and a half, 2 points, 3 points. As long as it's definable, measurable, and doable, it's okay. If it meets that criteria right there, definable, measurable, and doable, it can be any number you want. Can't be 20. That's definable, that's measurable, but it's not reasonable. It's not doable. That's what I meant to say. It's not doable. Why is it not doable? Well, it's not doable because the average true range of the markets right now are – actually, it is doable. The average true range of a Globex session, 24 hours, is 23 points. A couple days ago, it was down below 20. See, it got down as low as 13, 14. Now it's back above 20. So, all right, 25, that's not doable. Okay. See, we broke out above that, and again, we have nothing in our way until this little obstacle at 61, or 31, right there, which was based off of this swing low put in yesterday morning at 3 a.m. Chicago time. Okay. I think that's everything. Okay, guys, if you have any other questions about anything that I covered, or if you have, now I did run video today, and so this will be on the YouTube channel, youtube.com/CFRN. If you happen to be someone watching this video off into the future, today is Thursday, the 13th day of June, 2013. Let's say you're watching this in January of 2025, okay? You got questions? Send an email to support@CFRN.net. If I don't answer, my son will. Fair enough? All right. Partners, I'll see you tonight in the partners meeting, 9 Eastern. If you have topics you want to cover or you got questions, maybe you got some screenshots you want us to analyze for you, go ahead and email those ahead of time to support@CFRN.net. If you have not received your invitation to the partners meeting by 5 p.m. Eastern, email me support@CFRN.net so I can figure out what went awry and I can get you out an invitation. Okay. If you're on the free trial or your free trial is about to expire, you want to become a partner, you want to learn how to do all this stuff, you want to be able to learn to spot trades like the one I just showed you and never again have to depend on some guru to tell you when to get in and when to get out. You want to take matters into your own hands. We would love to have you as a part of our community. We are a community of believers who trade for a living, and we would love to have you come and be a part. All right? So support@CFRN.net. Thanks so much for tuning in. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace. And I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this. There is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Dwayne Reeves, his co-hosts, and guests. To learn more about trading e-mini futures or to take a one-week free trial in our live trading room, call 1-866-928-3310. 866-928-3310. Information discussed on this radio program should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed securities broker or financial planner before making any investment decision.
Hey you, trader, why the sad face? Bad day in the markets? Bad year in the markets? If you're like many other traders I've met recently, you're about to give up, go broke, or both. They say the definition of insanity is when people continue doing the same thing and expect different results. Sound like you? You've invested a lot of time and money in this trading business, right? Well, before you give up or go broke, let's just take off the crazy hat for a moment, okay? Forget the schemes and scams that litter the internet. That 80% win ratio in his dreams and your nightmares. The 89 consecutive winning trades guy. Liar, liar, pants on fire. It really comes down to what actually works. At the end of the day, who can you really trust on your way to Wall Street? Here's a thought. What if you could spend day after day with seasoned traders and market analysts? What if you could cut through the theory and simply see real-time trades and strategies that work? Debunk the myths and learn the ropes. Cut the risks by avoiding simple mistakes. How much do you think that would be worth in the long run? If you could literally shave years off the learning curve and keep tens of thousands of dollars in your account for the actual purpose of trading, would that be of great value to you? Would that be the definition of doing something different? Right now, CFRN has a limited time offer. I want to invite you to spend a full week with the CFRN team. I want you to test drive our online platform and feel the power of our custom indicators for an entire week. I want you to witness real trades with real money in real time. I want you to see a humble, ethical, and proven trading system that's simple and, more importantly, that works. You can pass this off as just another sales pitch. You can risk tens of thousands of dollars and several years of your life in an attempt to prove me wrong. Or you can come hang out with us for just 1 week. No strings attached, no credit card required. All we require is a simple desire to learn. Stop the insanity today. Test drive our platform and indicators for 1 full week. Trade with us live for 1 full week. No strings attached, no credit card required. If I'm wrong, there'll be plenty of time to give up or go broke next week. So act today. This is a limited time sensitive offer. To get started, visit www.cfrn.net. That's www.cfrn.net. CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.